B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
rock. Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show Tuesday. As we wait game two, Sixers enter into a sweep. And so we follow all the other games in Miami Heat. This town shuddered. Oh, my God. If they get into a series with the Heat. Oh, the Heat stink. They're getting piped out of this series of four. So it'll go to chalk, and it'll come down where we have to watch every minute of the Bucks and Nets series to figure stuff out here. As we talk about whether the Sixers can pull this thing off. And so, like, the Ben conversation, I swear to God, it's a conversation that just keeps on giving because people can't get enough of talking about Ben in either way. Like, if you're a pro-Ben or if you're an anti-Ben. I don't know if there's many in-the-middle Bens people. But you believe the middle people? It's either all the way with Ben or, you know, Ben has to do more.
Yeah,
This is really a fascinating phenomenon to me because I love to look at personalities and what connects in Philadelphia, what doesn't, why it connects, why it doesn't. And when it comes to Ben, I think that Ben gives himself a short line because he doesn't go out of his way to embrace the public. Now, he's not a malicious guy, but he's like a guy that he's not going to embrace the public. He does interviews. Doesn't look like he's embracing the public. He likes to be in his own little climate with his own people and all that kind of thing. And that's fine. But I think in this town, if you don't make an effort to embrace them, you then become an easy target for them to turn on. Now, I didn't make the rules on this, but I think that's what it is. Like if you can be engaging or you can be non-engaging, but like do everything right. Like there's the Utley example where he wasn't engaging at all, but the way he played somehow connected, and he didn't have to engage.
There was one other thing.
He was white.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he was a white player. So when it comes to Ben, I think people look at him, and I even look at him, like a mystery. He's a mystery. He's this guy who, you know, is in a lot of ways robotic. We see him, but we don't know him. And I think that bothers the everyday fan. Now, when it comes to me, I just look at one simple thing. I think the guy's got breathtaking talent enough to be a super-duper star in the league if he would only expand another part of his game. I've been clear from day one on this. So I don't really care about the personal part of it. I care about the basketball part of it. But it does seem to me that his refusal to, like, people go, all right, you need to be doing this. And his refusal to acknowledge that pisses people off. And so the people that get ticked off, like, when they can attack them, they will. I think that's the best sociological reason I can come up with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But it's disappointing for me because what I like to do sometimes, it's just watch the darn game. Mm-hmm. But people don't really, when it comes to him, they don't just watch the game. They have to be going in with some form of agenda each and every day. I wonder if the people who are anti or super pro, are they having any fun watching the games? Are they laser focused on him? Does it take away from the fun of, you know, watching a playoff basketball game? Because in other cities, there are other flawed players, not quite this flaw. But people don't go, oh, man, Greek Freak can't shoot, for example. He's willing, but he can't. Bucks fans don't go into every game going, oh, man, I wish Greek Freak could make some shots. They just look at what he does do, and they don't obsess.
Yeah, it's an insecurity among people here, because we're basically insecure people in Philadelphia for a number of reasons. But it's like the vibe he gives is that, he could do without them. Right? Meaning the fan. He can do without that. He's in his own little world. He's got his own little thing. He doesn't really have to cultivate or feel the need to cultivate any support from fans. And I think fans look at that and go, how dare you? How dare you? Why don't you want to embrace me?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something to it, but I always have to allow for the fact that he's not from here. I know he's been here a while, but when you don't grow up a certain place, forget Philly, America, and Philly's very unique. Embiid connecting in the way that he does was happenstance. When it comes to players, when they come in and out of here, it's hit or miss. Barkley and Iverson obviously did, but tons of other people don't. And it's like Embiid happens to really connect.
Yeah.
But Ben happens to not. And Tobias is sort of in between Ben and him. Like, I think that some of this is human and we should allow for some of the humanity.
Everybody is different. I get it. But, like, take the Embiid example. The Embiid embrace with this is like, welcome to me. You know, come on.
Right.
Oh, you know, you're my people.
Right.
Like, that thing. Now, Ben goes the opposite way to that. So when you got that one dynamic and the other guy goes, I don't really care that much about you. I'll say some things, but basically, I'm not inviting you over to my house. Now, like, man, that's the vibe.
Now, what's funny is when the Boathouse Row jerseys came out and there was all that controversy, a few fans said something that I would like you to respond to. They said that Boathouse Row is for people who don't live in Philadelphia. This is what these fans were laying out. They wrote this thing. They weren't sports people. They were saying that as a symbol, Boathouse Row is a symbol for people who visit Philly that want to look at something pretty. But a person who lives in Philly doesn't care. That was, and they're saying that when Ben, since he was the main designer of that jersey, that's a sign that Ben
doesn't get it.
Is here but doesn't live here,
right?
Because he looks at it and not immersed in it. Versus Embiid, who people feel lives here. That was their sociological response to the jerseys back when there was all that controversy. By the way, the jerseys look good on TV. They look good. So
jerseys. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Crystal Rich is with us today. Now, Crystal, hey, you see Ben? It's like he's not throwing an inner tube to people.
No,
you know?
No. And I believe that big personalities, you mentioned Charles, you mentioned B, they always win. It makes the winning easier to love, and it makes the losing easier to forgive. Now, Ben Simmons, he doesn't have that big personality at all. So like you said, he feels like an enigma at times. You really don't know what he's thinking. For me personally, I never really care. As long as I see what you do on the court, I don't care if you're doing, you know, all the things that Embiid and all the outgoing people do. I think Tobias Harris is getting there because he's showing a lot of blue collar play, and that's what this city respects. But with regards to Ben Simmons, I truly believe that that is part of it. But it's also based in the fact that the most fundamental thing that you can do in basketball, like when you first pick up a ball at the age of like 2 or 3, you try to shoot it. He doesn't do. So that adds on to
it. Does
absolutely.
And he doesn't seem to care about it.
And he doesn't show emotion.
And people are caring about it. Go, Ben, you got to shoot. And he just goes, whatever.
Do you remember what he said a couple years ago when someone said, oh, how come you're not shooting the ball? I thought you were going to shoot this year. You put out all those videos. He's like, I'm already an all-star.
Yeah.
And he had to kind of like apologize for that later.
Yeah.
That's like, people don't like that.
No, that's a sign like, you don't count. I know I count because I know what I do. And people around me know what I do. So y'all, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're limited when a fan comes at you like that. Yes, you're right. I'm terrible at basketball. Like, what do you say back that is more appropriate?
Well, you don't. I'm just saying he's a different personality. And I'm not saying that the fans are right. I'm saying this is who these fans are here. These fans, they like to be massaged every now and then by their athlete.
You're right, but to what Crystal just said, and this is what does trouble me. A guy goes out and gets you 15 rebounds and 15 assists, mm-hmm. and the team wins a playoff game.
Yeah.
Wins.
Well,
and a lot of people's reaction after the game was negative,
yeah.
not just about the team. Many of them were negative about the guy who got the 15 rebounds and 15 assists.
Oh, exactly.
That's not a good existence.
No, but no. but that's the whole point. They latched onto something else because he's not universally liked. They say, okay, well, I can pick on this part of it.
It's more forgivable. It's more forgivable if you have that big personality, and he doesn't.
Yeah, so. No, he does. It's a really the fascinating dynamic. He just I got to give him credit too because he goes, listen, man, I'm totally comfortable in my world. If you're not comfortable in my world, just screw you. That's the vibe he gives off.
It does. But what's funny is though, Embiid doesn't get the benefit of the doubt either. We only like Embiid now because he's been playing well. Let him have one bad game. It'll be he's soft.
Yeah.
There's also a national mechanism that's
right.
built to rip him.
He'll shoot four threes and then people go, he didn't make any threes. Why is he in there in the post?
And Embiid will also say, like, I literally sucked tonight.
But that's the thing that brings the fans back. He will do something like that.
Or
he will do this again with the arms raised up.
He brings him right back in. He takes responsibility in a much, much more real way to people than Simmons does as far as taking responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So it's funny because this relates to something I want to talk about now because there's like people on opposite end of the spectrum. And I saw that where Pat Croce is going to ring the bell tomorrow on his Twitter.
Yep.
And Mutombo rang the bell for game one.
Yep.
And Mutombo is universally liked.
Yeah.
And I started to think, I go, you know, I want to compile a list of undeserved love for ability. This is like a completely different category. Like, Mutombo is universally loved, not only because he had personality, but because they thought he was great. And he really was not.
Well, not here. He was great on defense at other places.
But not here. He was like, they were 500 team with him as a center.
Yeah.
Right? But he's got this undeserved love that, like, he was Shaq.
He also has those commercials. Yeah. People love that. I love the commercial too.
I love the commercial, but it's fun. Like, he's got this reputation of being a really great player here, and he wasn't. And it's an interesting little list when you come up with it, because our perception is different than reality for some reason. And I got a list of players. I'm going through the football right now. And I want to go like through the basketball and the baseball because there's some people that pop in your head. And you go, oh, he was a good player. Like you'll hear his name will come up, and somebody will go, oh, he was a really good player. And I go, no, he wasn't. But their perception was that he was a really good player.
That's interesting.
It's a different category. It's like a very narrow category here.
Well, you know what? If the Sixers win a title this year. You know who's going to go on that he was a really good player list years down the road? Korkmaz.
That's why I already got him on the list. He's a lock for the list.
Right. If they win, they'll go, man, that Korkmaz used to really help him off the bench. Make a three. Well,
he's got that rep now. He doesn't even need to do that in the playoffs.
I also think we're a sucker for an accent. Like, Korkmaz doesn't have this huge personality. Like, he did raise the roof with this, like, old played out dance.
Yeah.
But he also, like, we're suckers for accents sometimes. We're like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah. I don't get it. That's a female thing that I don't necessarily get with.
I'll
give you another one.
Bencher.
There are people that swear that Boban Marjanovic could play. He was really good. When they got him in here, he just,
meanwhile, they were
my board.
When Embiid went out the game that particular year, the Sixers were minus 1 million. Like, if Embiid left the floor and Boban and Greg Monroe took his spot.
Is it not the lasting impression? His name will come up. You go, well, I wish I had him as a backup.
The lasting impression is the bromance with Tobias, but people forget, like, he could not grab a board. Like, so many times he just had butterfingers out there.
That translated into him actually being a good player with some people. That's what he was. His big claim to fame was he was friends with Tobias.
He went to Savav
and had dinner every night. Like, that's his claim to fame.
Oh, yeah, he was in the streets. He was out and about.
610-632-0975. How you climb into the show. Mike Pacinelli Show on a Tuesday. We're back after this.
When I play with the band.
The Mike Pacinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's a 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention to HVAC contractors. For equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, this is one of Ferguson's county locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Today, Crystal Richin again for us today with the Twitter poll. Crystal, it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you, I don't know, are you looking for a new mower, Crystal? New mower, zero turn maybe, can I interest you?
You know, growing up, I used to always want to mow the lawn.
Yeah?
How about like a hedge? I wanted to get on the riding mower. My dad wouldn't let me. He would let me do the push.
Well,
I did it once.
So you're a grown woman now, so you can get your own riding mower.
That's why I have a husband.
Well, where you get it is at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And you can order online at paulbmoyer.com or you can check it out at their shop in Doylestown, PA. What's today's Twitter poll?
All right. Ben Simmons is very polarizing even after 15 rebounds, 15 assists, playoff performance. Does his personality make you less likely to look past his flaws? 22% say yes, he's aloof, and 77% say no, it's just basketball.
That's nice. Nice to 77% and 35% of that.
You're right. 22% want him to have the personality, too.
Right. So, but see, that number should be zero.
Yeah.
That number should be zero.
Plus, I think that 77% is liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, there's people in there like, why are you asking that? Yeah. Let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. That's always mattered in Philadelphia. As tough as we are in the city, we're not nearly as tough if we like you.
Yeah.
If we like you in this city, true, we look past a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Totally.
Charles Barkley not watching the Sixers game, mm-hmm, we would take very personally if it wasn't Charles Barkley.
Of course we would.
And if he didn't have that big personality.
Right. If it was somebody like some regular, if Reggie Miller... Yeah. Was not, we hate Reggie. Chris Webber, if they didn't watch the game and then they were in the studio, we would destroy them because it's Barkley. Uh-huh.
Yep.
So let's not pretend like we're a great sports city. We're not perfect. We do allow personality to skew how we, TJ McConnell.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A different kind, different gritty, like a same level player with less grit.
Yeah.
I can't stand TJ. Instead, he's a fan favorite. We're like, we play favorites here.
Absolutely.
Let's not pretend like we don't.
Absolutely.
We do.
Play favorites. So one quick thing before we get to the phones, I'm watching, last night was the Kenny Mayne last broadcast, right?
Yeah.
Now, for the record, I get full disclosure. I never got Kenny Mayne, to be honest with you. I always thought he was the most overrated sports talk, at ESPN personality ever. I don't know how he lasted that long, but he did. And a lot of people liked him. So he goes out with, he hosts the Sports Center and he's got, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And at the end, he says, by the way, thanks for your interest me in Bitcoin. I'm down 40% and I lost my job, blah, blah, blah. So bleep you, Aaron Rodgers. And he says the F word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, well, that's a pretty good way to go out. What are they going to do, fire him?
Exactly.
They can't fire him. It's the best of both worlds because they bleep it, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't get it on the air and he gets what he wanted to say.
Right,
so.
And technically... Because it was after a certain hour and cable, they didn't have to bleep it, but they did anyway.
Okay, it was after 10.
That's against their corporate policy, but it's not against FCC policy.
Yeah, as far as cable goes.
Yeah, he would have been allowed to say it. So even if they had missed the bleep, he's still good as far as they can't mess with his severance because he didn't do anything that would like.
Yeah.
So it was the perfect thing to do on the way out.
It was.
Perfect.
It's the F-bomb. He basically going to rehire you ever.
Right.
It's got me thinking about, like, Natalie's last day was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She technically, at like 5:30, could have gone, bleep you, Mike Missinelli. And got, you know, if she so desired.
She
now,
had to do it at like 42. Because of sound off. 30, they would have still ripped her out for a segment by the arm. We'd have had to ask Rhonda, because she's not going to let a man grab her. So Rhonda would have been in charge to escort Natalie out. But if she did it at 42,
she would have got away with it.
Yeah, but he came back and did sound off and went home.
Yeah.
She could have done it.
What were you going to say there, Crystal?
I don't even know if I have any words for that.
Right. Would you ever do that, Crystal?
Honestly,
would you do that?
I wouldn't do it. I would, you know, it makes me think if there was someone I really, really didn't like, I would be tempted, but at the end of the day, no. If I was retiring from my career altogether, maybe. Like, I don't ever want to get another broadcasting job, radio gig. Maybe if there was someone who I, like, despised. But other than that, no.
Oh, I would do it. Because I'm in that category. like the haters? Oh, man.
Who'd be the first person to call out?
I don't know if I'd do it individually. I just kind of group the haters that have given me grief over the years.
Like callers?
Well, callers, emailers, whatever. You know,
probably co-workers.
Vicious Twitter.
Co-workers.
Are you dropping an F-bomb? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No question, I would. All right, let's go to the phones. Holden in Cherry Hill. Holden, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Holden.
How's it going, fellas?
What's going on, Holden?
All right, so I say you're spot on with the fan connection, and Ben, he definitely is to himself, and I think the fans take that personally.
Yeah, they do, no question, because we're insecure that way.
Yeah, I don't myself, so I don't really, you know, that doesn't affect my opinion, Ben. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the stat line is 6-15-15. I mean, obviously, we all want him to score more points, and who doesn't want him to score more points? But 15-15, he's facilitating the ball, he's helping, you know, obviously on defense. So I don't think we should absolutely destroy him for that, obviously. And then the 0-for-6 for the free throws, I mean, yeah, he has a bad day shooting free throws. You know, that happens for everybody. I mean, he's going to have a good day and a bad day. But then also, too, in terms of his shooting, obviously it's playoffs. He's not going to start shooting, you know, mid-range twos or deep twos now. And if anything, he's going to do it next season. But in terms of that, like, he's scared. And I think if he develops that, obviously, it's going to make his defenders move up or give him and stop and give him some respect. That way, he's going to drive by him in the lane.
Exactly. That's what we've been talking about. It opens, not only does it open the avenue for a short jumper, it opens the avenue for him to get future drives to the basket. That's why we were obsessed with talking about this.
Exactly. And with his game now, that's not okay because he can be better. So he just, if he has that mindset where he's okay where he's at now, I mean, he's still obviously top player, but he's not going to reach his potential. And then I think last thing I can say is I think I was listening to the show before with Ant and Chunas. Mm-hmm. They're talking about a lot of bettors. That one bettor threw 500 down the drain on that parlay. And Wyatt's advice is you're only up until you're down. And if you never step foot in a casino, you're always a winner.
Hey, well, yeah, that's good advice. That's like 1-800 gambler's advice. You know?
But yeah, I mean, I obviously bet a little bit too, but I have my.
Yeah, obviously, if you don't bet, you can't lose. But you know, this with the internet betting, and that's so easy. You look at a game, you gotta drop 20.
Yeah, all the laws are getting repealed now, so I think they're opening up to multiple states. So
yeah,
it's getting bigger and bigger.
All right, Holden. No, Holden, a cautionary tale for the bettors.
Yeah, well,
yeah. I should have pounded Milwaukee Bucks last night, and I foolishly did not even think about it.
Yeah, you know.
And even Barkley was
embarrassing.
Barkley in the pregame show was what's called bet the Bucks tonight. Bet the Bucks, lock.
You know he put it. You know he bet.
Oh, you know he
you
did.
You know he bet.
Absolutely
it.
He did.
Just, you know, there's a good thing for everybody out there after that game. So we could all feel good about it. I tweeted about it. The good thing is Jimmy Butler's still the hardest working player in NBA history. Just ask him.
Troll.
Just ask him. He's still the hardest working player in the NBA. Just ask him. You know, he'll tell you. So even though he's played like garbage for two straight games, none of this is his fault.
Yeah.
It's the coaches who he's apparently got beef with. Surprise. We ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Now he's got beef with a championship winning coach down in Miami and with some of his teammates who aren't working hard enough.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise.
When it goes bad, that's what it is with Jimmy.
Now, I do think they're going to get a game. I think they're going to lose in five. I don't think they're going to get swept.
Yeah.
Only because some of those shots that were going in, there was a certain fluke factor to Howard. I do think they come back to earth a little bit and Miami gets one.
Mm-hmm.
But considering the majority of experts pick Miami to win the series, there's got to be some heat taken for how they're reacting to this. They're not playing well at all.
Yeah.
You know it's bad when Miami's making some Bucks no-namers look like stars off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about this guy, Bryn Forbes.
Bryn Forbes, who I watched.
6 of 9 from deep, 22 points off the bench. He averages 10.
Been firing lately. I saw the Bucks game live here. He was 0-for-10 from the 3-point line. I'm going, please, it's a mercy. Get this kid out of the game for crying out loud. But he's actually a pretty good shooter.
He went off.
That they identified.
They identified
went
him.
Off.
And the way the
Michigan State kid, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Drew Holiday with 15 assists. He only had like 11 points. No one was ripping him. It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
He had 15 assists. It was like, great by the Bucks. Then he gets 15 assists.
He only scored six, and he was over six in the line. That's what people will
right, say. But he also didn't have 15 rebounds to go
no,
with it.
He didn't. And here's the bottom line. Then people go, well, he's got to score more. If he gets 15 assists every game, he's generating points. And that's what when I look at him, I go, he needs to generate points. I thought the easiest way to do it would be to do it himself. Because I don't think he's going to get 15 assists every game. So that's all I'm, like in a game like that, he gets 15 assists and he's generating points, offensive rebounds, new possessions, the whole bit. It's all good. Like there's no complaints. The complaint comes when he doesn't match that offensive production by not getting the 15 assists and not scoring, then they're in trouble. That's all. All right, Lenny Pittman, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lenny.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today?
What's up, Lenny?
Mike, I'm kind of in the middle. On the one side of the scale, he can't shoot foul shots, can't shoot a jump shot, and he dated a Kardashian. On the other side of the coin, he's a good ball handler, plays good defense. You know what he reminds you of? He's a smaller version of the freak. He's not as muscular. He doesn't put his shoulder down, and he goes to the rack. That's his game. The freak just puts his shoulders down. He's a big guy and just makes a beeline for the rim. And I get that. He's a one-trick pony.
Who is the freak?
Yeah.
No, he'll shoot jumpers. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he'll pull up and shoot the 10-footer.
Occasionally. Like I said, on Ben, I'm in the middle. You know, he's a good ball handler, plays good defense, and, you know, I think he's a very good player.
Yeah, but we can't stop. We can't. No. Well, he should be. That's the
he
whole point.
Be, right.
We can't stop there when it comes to evaluating Ben, because we see what he can be.
Okay.
I mean, that's what frustrates me. I see what the dude can be. I see this marvelous ability in the guy that would help the Sixers win more easily a championship. And that's also, that's what frustrates me.
I got you.
All right, Lenny.
I hear you.
All right. You got it. Going back to my list here.
All right.
Let me try this one out for you. LeGarrette Blount.
Yes. Yes. Because good short yardage back. The next year, people were asking about him. He's averaging 2 yards a carry and not
wasn't even noticed that he was averaging 2 yards a carry.
Right. Everybody thought he would be, no, if he was here, he'd still be a great player. When really, they got out from under him at the exact right time. Yet you would believe he was baddest.
Yeah.
The way people do speak about him.
Exactly.
Yes.
The undeserved love for the ability that's not really that special.
He did a nice job of short yardage for a year, then wasn't doing a good job somewhere else. They saw, oh, no, but if he was here, it'd be, come on.
Yeah. This is, again, a specialized list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the only list LeGarrette Blount would make. Really?
He probably makes the same list up in New England.
Yes,
yeah, he's very specific.
Yeah, because
kind of thing.
Something about he had some kind of immunity because he was 250 and you know, like crash a hole between the tackle, and people somehow have a real reverence for that.
I guess because we're an old city. Like, Philadelphia is an old city.
Uh-huh.
I think that we forever have a DNA link with old school. An old school 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think the big back, because I think there's some people that probably still wish the Eagles played like that.
But what's interesting is that Ricky Waters was that between the tackle guy who could also do other things and is not even respected.
Because of one sentence.
Never missed a game. Never missed a game because of injury. There are people that think more highly of LeGarrette Blount than they were Ricky Waters in this town.
And they'll say, because he won a Super Bowl, because everybody. Even though it was...
How's everyone doing?
It's hard to explain. But yes, that is correct. Because for 2 years, people were still calling about him.
Exactly. All right, so far on the list, Mutombo, Boban, And LeGarrette Blount, and Korkmaz is a lock, so we're not even going to add him early on. He's just, we add him at the end.
Hall of Fame lock. Hall of Fame lock. Like, just no doubt about it. Like, oh man, he helped that team a lot get that one seed.
Exactly.
It was him.
Yes.
Listen, if you're going off the confidence of Korkmaz,
yeah,
have a story.
Well, you're not seeing very much confidence in him right now, Crystal?
I'm saying his confidence in himself.
Yeah.
He's the best player on the team, and to himself.
Yeah.
He has confidence when he was breaking up them shots.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he had confidence. He's just throwing them up. I think he's a little skittish right now. Because I don't like his jump shot as it is, but he was extra hoist.
I think the week off really hurts the younger players like him and the role players.
Yeah. But Maxey looked good.
Yeah, yeah, you would think Korkmaz, who's been in the league now how many years? What's this, his fourth?
Third or fourth year. Wait a minute, fourth or fifth year?
Yeah, you think he's been around long enough to like be a little more assertive that way.
But when your role is so limited.
I think it's his, wait a minute, it looks like it's his, no, it's his fourth year.
Yeah.
So at this point, he's still a young guy, but in NBA years.
Yeah.
And he actually averaged, ironically, less points per game this year than last year and shot a lower field goal percentage and 3-point percentage than last year.
He'll hang around the league for a couple more years. Somebody, like, if the Sixers move on from him,
oh, yeah,
he'll hang around.
Well, Isaiah Joe's probably going to take a spot, yeah, so he'll probably be some next
right,
year.
But somebody will grab him. It'll be 2 years before he goes back to Europe.
But yeah, just so the record, you wouldn't think it, but he averaged shooting a less from three and a lower percentage this year than last year. He just doesn't have the Brett Brown, you always play no matter what.
Yeah.
Doc picks a spot.
Doc was close to having that, man.
But he stopped.
Paul, Northern Liberty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
How you doing, Mikey?
What's up, Paul?
I got a Phillies comment, Sixers comment.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, losing 7 out of 9. Very disappointing from the start we had in the beginning of the year. I don't know if you caught Girardi's comment yesterday, which I thought was really interesting. He says, I don't want to hear it's too early or that it's early. It's not early. It's not late. It's the middle of the season, and we need to play better. Is that his way of trying to motivate the team, or is that for the fans?
He's not going to crash his team ever. It's the one thing you can pretty much see about Girardi. He's not going to smash it into his team. He's just not that type of guy. I think what he meant was that although it's not the end, it's not the beginning either. I think he was trying to say there's an urgency.
Well, there is an urgency, and my jury's out right now.
This is the thing. When you have a mediocre team, what urgency is there? Like, what are you supposed to squeeze out of this mediocre team? Like, what's got to happen? Like, the sun has to come out and kiss them on the forehead? Like, they are what they are. There's not going to be, like, they're not underachieving. They're doing exactly what they are.
Well, we got a couple guys that are slumping. I mean, Bryce is slumping, although I wouldn't trade him for anything in the world. And there are some things that could be fixed, but you're right. The talent's just not
there. Well, what could be fixed? Other than Bryce getting healthier and carrying him for a little bit,
how about center field? I mean,
well he's hitting in the two hole. He's already won the organization back. The guy's in the two hole for crying out loud. But what else can happen that's going to make them good?
Yeah, we are what we are, I guess, man.
Yes, but, exactly.
All right, so the Sixers, I don't know who you guys think, all three of you, but best case scenario, man, the Bucks and the Nets go head-to-head. They go seven, maybe an overtime game or two, and just run each other ragged. What do you think about that?
That's what we've been talking about. And in that case, I would bet a lot of money on the Sixers in game one.
Absolutely, totally agree. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. Although the Sixers would be in a layoff. So you have to measure that in there, too. But, yeah, obviously, that's one of the big factors of getting that draw. Those other two teams have to beat each other's brains in before you get them.
Now, the Bucks are probably hardier than the Nets. So if somebody's going to get broken down physically over a tough series, it's more likely to be the Nets, who have three guys who have had injuries, versus the Bucks, where that's where all those guys, other than Jrue Holiday, have been really sturdy. So, a Greek Freak is a sturdy. I mean, he had ankle, but he was still scoring 30 in their series last year against Miami when he hurt his ankle. So, that's what I can't rule the Bucks out as being the opponent.
No.
The more I see him play, I don't think it's a lock. People just think that, because right now, according to the odds, the Sixers are a good chunk ahead of the Bucks with the assumption that they'll just lose to the Nets. I just can't do it. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'll see more from the Nets.
I think that's would be an easier series win over the Bucks.
I think so. But that team has played together more, most of that nucleus, than the Nets have.
Yeah. Well, the Phillies have almost turned in, for me, the Flyers, as far as talking about them, interest-wise. I know it's like we're right in the middle of the baseball season, but like they become an afterthought to me right now. Because they're just not engaging. They don't engage you in any way.
And they're not fun to watch. But that's also partially, and that's that I'm blaming on Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
He's responsible for box office. Part of why he got that contract wasn't just because of his play. He's supposed to be must-see TV. Mm-hmm. So far this year, he's not must-see TV.
He is not.
And that's on him, that part.
And I got a question for Girardi. Because he raves about this kid. He likes this kid. What on earth do you like so much about Ronald Torres that he has to be in your lineup? Seriously, he's the definition of utility infielder. And last night I'm watching him, and he probably didn't make the right play on the ball when he went to the backhand, but it was shot out of a cannon. He's got a candy arm from shortstop. I could have timed that throw with a sundial.
Well, he
couldn't even get it to first base in time. That slow guy beat it out.
Backup catcher. So he probably reminds him of him.
He's not the backup catcher.
No, I'm saying Girardi was a backup catcher.
Oh, well, but Girardi was a starter in a lot of his career.
At times, but sometimes these managers, I think they connect with guys personally. Look at Gabe's guy was Rodriguez. I think he's his guy. I think that's his personal, I connect with this guy. I like being around him guy. I'm going to play. I think managers more than any other sport.
Joe, I respect him. This guy is like falls off trees, like leaves in the big leagues. And you love this guy? And not only that, he's got a nickname.
Wait.
Toe. They call him Toe. Yeah, you guys got a nickname.
You can't have
a nickname like when you're Ronald Torres.
Crystal's been here 2 days. We can't be giving her a nickname.
Yo, I come with a nickname.
No.
Don't matter how long Crystal's I've been anywhere. K-Rich.
No.
K-Rich, I come with it. I'm the exception to the rule.
Crystal's got an ability. I'm the exception to the rule. A guy with ability can get a nickname. A lady with ability can get a nickname.
You
think this guy deserves a nickname? Toe?
If he's around for a year. Give me around 5 minutes.
610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
247. Like the Finale Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh, interesting. Well, I tell you what, some people have the gift. Guy Fieri just signed this for the Food Network.
Yup.
Signed a 3-year, $80 million deal. I didn't even know the Food Network had $80 million.
Well, it's part of the whole Discovery Networks thing. They have that Discovery Plus. So it'll be that, but it'll also be some digital stuff. Discovery Plus, they have
all these channels.
Yeah, they have a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So it's part of that. But he'll mainly be on Food Network, but then there'll also be streaming shows, and he'll develop a show or two more. It's a big deal.
Dude's making as much as Harper.
Yeah.
What, seriously?
They were talking about Kincaid from Crossing Broad. Uh-huh. He's been on the show. He was doing a thing where if you put it in the trade machine, you could trade him for Ben Simmons. He did it. That was pretty creative. Yeah, like literally, the Sixers would have to could trade and put him under the cap.
Is his deal included? He's got to have his son on every show now?
Well, that's done. That's in. Yeah, of course. He probably got his son probably a $150,000 deal to go with it. Because his son's getting, he's not doing those for free.
Let me tell you something, man. That's one of the top five briskets I've had ever. Everything's a top five brisket.
One time, this lady made this shepherd's pie. You know, this is one of the better shepherd's pies I've had in a long time. Like, wait a minute.
He's always a top five. Everyone, top five. His top five list is a million long.
Mm-hmm. This one of the top five pulled pork sandwiches.
Got good spice, good crunch.
I'll tell you something.
Spices come out.
You had a restaurant. You would love him to hype whatever food you bring him
Mike
out.
Mike would not allow him in his restaurant. Mike doesn't respect him.
Not a chef.
So he would sacrifice the money.
Oh, man.
To not let him
the
on his show.
Listen, he gets what he gets, right? But Guy Fieri's burger joint. Seriously? How many chefs did you have to hire for that? To slap some ground meat on a grill? I'm sure it's real gourmet. Another way to turn over money. Guy Fieri's exclusive burger grill.
Yeah, he got exclusive burger grill. But apparently his restaurants are not highly rated. So really, it's all on the strength of that personality. So God bless him. But I would like to hear.
No, it's like they're all like Chili's.
Yeah.
That's the kind of restaurants he has. Wasabi Tex, or Tex Wasabi is one of his restaurants. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're not like five-star joints.
The guy's a mogul. Good for him.
Good for him. I wouldn't mind having my own cooking show.
Oh, you know. Really?
Yeah.
Pescatarian or what?
Yeah. I have a lane.
I would watch that. I need to learn how to cook something other than salmon in my fish category.
There you go. Hook it up.
Mike, can you burn? Can you cook?
Oh, yeah.
Mike's a big cook.
Same here.
Mike's a cook from way back.
One of the things I've done for most of my life. But I'm thinking of this phenomenon that is Guy Fieri. And I go, how do you do it? How does he pull it off? Like, what was it about him that pulled it off?
All right, it's the same thing happened with the UFC where they did the, I forget, they had their reality show. And then it led to big numbers. And that UFC was always running at a deficit until they did the Ultimate Fighter. And then that first season got such big ratings that they did a pay-per-view, and they've been winning ever since on pay-per-view and doing great. Well, he was on the first Food Network story. He won the first one. So there was a lot of ratings. It was the first time at the peak of reality TV. So he came along at the exact right time.
He did, and he cultivated the shtick and the look. Which was the blonde spikes and the long shorts and the portly belly with the T-shirt.
And the convertible.
The convertible's part of it. So he had the shtick. And he had, he has the personality. So.
But timing is also big.
Mm-hmm.
And that show, because since then, every single person they've had on that design, food, whatever, none of them have hit. He's the only one from that show. And they've done 20 seasons. He's the only one to actually become famous. So I got to think that some of that was the stars aligning at the right time. Kind of like the quarterback drafted by the right team versus the quarterback drafted by the Jets.
All right, well, listen. God bless him. God bless his family. But, now with the 80 mil, God might be getting in those streets. They may turn it into a John Mulaney situation.
See, I was going to ask you about that, Mike.
Uh-huh.
All right. So he's married, but the one kid obviously is grown that's with him. He has another son that's getting older. So, as the kids get more grown...
They're not cute kids, by the way.
Well...
They outgrew the cuteness. Yeah. When he had them on as kids, they were kind of cute. Oh, look, they're adorable with the bangs and the whole bit. Now the kid just looks like a snark.
He travels a lot, Mike. He travels a lot. So, it's a lot of opportunity when the kids aren't around.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm asking.
John, he's... Will the 80 million change him? I don't know. The wife occasionally has appeared... I've seen her a couple times.
She did ride with him through it. See, you have the fake wife and the real wife.
That doesn't mean anything. She rode with him through him. Once he gets the 80 mil contract, do you think that matters anymore?
Sometimes it depends on the guy. Because the woman that helps you become successful is different. Like Mike now, you divorced, people know. That wife, had you guys stayed together, I would consider like the 100% authentic real wife because she helped you along the way as you became a success.
Yeah.
If you were to get married now, while I wish you guys nothing but the best, it's different circumstances because she's arriving with you already successful.
That's why I'm not
so
getting...
it's a little different.
So you making her sign the prenup? Is that what Ty is getting at?
No, I'm not getting married.
Ever?
No.
Well, we were talking about you finding, your sugar mama billionaire.
The reality of it is, this chances are probably slim.
I disagree with that decision.
I completely disagree, too.
I disagree with it completely, Mike. I'm not co-signing it. I'm just saying the circumstances would be different if someone came along now versus somebody that came along when you were working at the during the perfume during the strike.
That's how I met my wife.
Right. So had you guys
she hired me as the perfume guy.
See?
Yeah.
So had you had it worked out, I would consider her the quote real wife because she would have helped you. Uh-huh.
The real wife.
Yeah.
No, not some of these guys out there come along when you already got $100 million.
I was still poor when I got divorced.
Shouldn't be about need.
Yeah, I wouldn't make any money when I got divorced. So there was that.
Well,
but you know, I have a prediction.
Yeah,
Guy Fieri, next girlfriend.
No,
Olivia Munn.
No,
I'll predict it right now. Olivia Munn.
I'm gonna find out how long they've been married. I don't want them to break up, Guy. If you're listening, stay with your wife.
Olivia's out in them streets. That's not gonna work out with John Mulaney.
Nah, that is
gonna
work out.
Still gonna be in the streets.
Nah, he's been married to this woman since 1995.
Well, she starts sending him the same kind of text she sent to Chris Pine.
Well.
You know what they are.
Nah, he's not gonna leave Lori.
All right.
I'm looking at Lori now. He's not gonna leave Lori. Lori Fieri's safe.
All right. Good for Guy. We're back at 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Vaselli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, and the 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corp Elite's Bakery in Delhi. World famous tomato pie hoagie party tray is every bit as good. We'll talk Sixers with Mark Jackson of NBC Sports Philly coming up at 4 o'clock, so stand by for that. In the meantime, we have this subtopic going on as we talk about some issues here. The subtopic being, give me some players who were who got undeserved love here for their ability. Undeserved. We thought the perception is they had ability. In reality, they really didn't. So far on the list, Mutombo, Boban, LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
All right, let me throw another one at you. We'll stay in the football realm. Brandon Boykin.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Corner. He did have 1 year where he had a good nose for the football, but it was proven out to be luck because the next year with the Eagles not well, they traded him to Pittsburgh, and it was supposed to be this big thing that was going to haunt us.
Uh-huh.
It did not haunt us.
Yeah.
At all.
Brandon Boykin.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he left. You got to get Brandon Boykin back.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Sometimes, I know coaches and GMs make a lot of mistakes, but sometimes the guys that see the people every day know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
When they see a guy every day, we're seeing little pockets. They're seeing everything.
Yes.
The work ethic, they're seeing the habits, they're seeing everything.
Mm-hmm. This is such low-hanging fruit, but I'll touch on the Flyers. Zach Ronaldo.
Well, come on.
Correct.
I mean, seriously.
What the
many times do you hear people try to convince me of the ability that he had that I was missing?
So you don't know, Mike. It's his role. If they he could be a second line guy, second line winger. If they just don't ask him to do that, he could do so much more.
Yeah.
Well. That happens with some baseball guys that we can get to, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that they were a bench player. It was that they... If asked, I mean, on anybody, any other team, he would be a starter.
Yeah.
It's just on this team, he's a bench player. But on any other team, he'd play every day.
Right.
That was our favorite. On any other team, they play every day, Mike. You should know that.
Yeah.
That was a big one back in the day.
Yes, it was. All right, let's go to Spider in South Philly. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great, man. I just want to start off like this. I'm not a Ben hater. I'm actually just feeling like I'm burned being burned by Ben Simmons. And I just want to start off.
Spider, you got to do something with your phone, man. You're talking into that microphone or do something different.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
All right, so listen, man. His game hasn't improved since he came into this league. He still had the same offensive game. He's been a great passer and a great
rebounder. That's not true!
Since he came in the league, he's been a good passer and a good rebounder. His offensive game has not improved. He would not be an all-star in the Western Conference at all. And that's the point to what Crystal said. When he was asked about his shooting, oh, I'm an all-star. This man doesn't care about improving his game at all. He doesn't, to me.
Listen, you might be right. I think he thinks that his game is fine, and like people have seven heads that tell him that it's not. That's what makes him the aloof part that doesn't connect.
Yeah, and another point to what Tyrone was saying, nobody complained about Drew Holiday with his output. We know Drew Holiday can go get us 20-plus points if needed. So that's not nothing to complain about. Now, with Ben, on the other hand, we're used to him scoring 10 and under. And he's supposed to be a star of our team. He is nothing but a flashy Draymond Green. When you speak of the Golden State Warriors, you speak of Steph and Clay. They the all-stars, the superstars. We speak about Ben Simmons like he's one of our superstars, all-stars.
He's got the ability to be at that potential, level.
And this is what burns me a lot. I know his potential. This man could be one of the greats if he applies himself more. And this is what frustrates me about him, man. He is saying to me he doesn't apply himself.
He applies himself. He just doesn't pull the trigger in the game.
He's too cool for school. He's good with his game being what it is. When I see him coming in, I say, oh, this dude could be better than LeBron James, man. This dude could be better.
I understand what your evaluation is, and I get it.
Right.
He is a very prideful guy. He's not going to listen, because he's been raised to be perfect, he's not going to listen to people tell him he doesn't do a certain thing.
That's cool, bro. That's cool.
Well, I get it. That's one of my problems with the whole thing. But see, right now, Spider, the only beef I have right now is that people are using this against him after that first game, which I think is foolish. Now, there might be a time when we can use that against him, but it wasn't after game one.
Man, listen, I'm tired of seeing the same thing from him. I need to see more from him, especially going forward. Like you said,
against game one, they didn't play one game. They play one game. You know the only series that counts is the last one. We'll see what he does in the last series.
I'm jacked up three weeks ahead of time. I've been seeing the same thing, Mike.
Spider, what's the date on your calendar?
Man, I'm looking forward.
It's May.
You're
making a conclusion. You're looking forward, and you're making a conclusion that's not here yet.
He hasn't shown me anything different.
You're not listening to me. He doesn't show you anything different doesn't mean that it's the same thing is going to play out. We will see.
So, Spider, sit out the rest of the week, buddy. But please sit out the rest of the week, buddy. But this is what I mean, though, Mike. So he sees a guy getting 15 and 15, mm-hmm. and he can't just watch the basketball game. He's got to be projected. My point about Drew Holiday wasn't that Drew Holiday isn't or is or isn't capable. What I'm saying is he had a low offensive output game where he had a bunch of assists and his team won, and the takeaway was, look how well they played. It wasn't, let's project to the next game. What I'm saying is, let's look at every. I'm trying to watch a basketball game like tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go out, start better, hopefully to a faster start. I know Washington's going to play hard because Westbrook and Beal are going to play hard. They're probably going to drag the teammates with them, execute a little bit better transition defense. I'm trying to watch the game. I don't want to project every single night like they haven't played since Sunday. This is an extra night away. Because the league cheated for the Pacers. That's why they play tomorrow, and that's why there's 2 days off. They wanted to cheat to get LeVert back from COVID protocol. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was going to be the Pacers. That's why the Sixers had these extra games off. But anyway, I'm trying to watch each game, and he's now miserable when a guy gets 15 to 15.
He's projecting because he wants to be right. You don't have to be right now. It's May. So, like, if we get, like, for instance, if tomorrow, the Wizards press them. And part of that narrative in enabling the Wizards to press them is that Ben didn't generate enough offense. And his numbers go, I don't know, 10-7. 10.7 assists. Then we got a conversation. You go, oh, here we go. But until we get to that point, and even that's not going to matter, because the only thing that matters is what he's going to do against in that key series that either gets them to the NBA Finals or doesn't.
Right. And I want him to continue to play at that. He played at a high level, in my opinion, overall, other than the foul shooting, at a high level. I want him to continue game by game to play at a high level. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to look, and I don't want to project every single night while I'm watching. There might be another game where he goes, okay, I'm getting to the rim more. That's mm-hmm. a good thing. And I'll say, okay, because I know he's not going to shoot. I'll say, this is good. I want to take every game as a game. What I don't want to do is have to measure every basketball game against what's going to happen later. I don't know what's going to happen later, but I also don't care yet.
You can't. He's trying to hang the narrative on him now, and the narrative's not complete.
Right.
Yeah, so. Mike, we kind of knew this was coming, though, because we've all mm-hmm. been saying that Ben Simmons, his judgment day is going to come in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So everyone's so anxious for his judgment day to be after game one. But we have to look at the totality of the games that he plays in the playoffs mm-hmm. and then execute or put forth judgment then.
Yes.
Now, I know people think it's not possible for Ben to put 20 points. There was a time right before, everyone likes to mention, right before the All-Star game, he was giving you consistently like 20 points per game in the regular season. Hopefully he'll be able to get to a point like that if Tobias Harris can't get you mm-hmm. 37 points and Seth and Danny aren't knocking down threes. But we don't know yet. The playoffs have just started.
Exactly. And again, this is the type of personality where it's easy for people to hop on the anti-Ben because Ben doesn't bring you into him.
Mm-hmm. And because when Spider, and that's why he needs to take a time off, talked to him the last 2 days, but also because it seems like he just has something against Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he does.
He's gonna milk
this narrative. But you see, it's foolish to me. In the last 2 days, he's milked that same narrative, that Spider.
Right.
Then it becomes nonsense that you're milking that narrative after the first game because he had 15-15.
And he read that Tobias was hot, and he better have passed it to Tobias. And late he saw Embiid had it going with 21 in the second half, so he passed it to Embiid. Uh-huh. That's what I want my point guard to do. Yeah. I need to see a game if Tobias or Embiid can't get theirs, uh-huh. which may not come in this series, mm-hmm. and then see if he'd be assertive then. And I'll judge that in real time, not what's going to happen if the no. Let's just watch. Can we just watch a basketball game? Please. I just want to watch a basketball game. I enjoy the game.
Well, that's the problem, Tyrone. People aren't watching just the one game. They're digging back into their bag of, this is who I know Ben Simmons to mm-hmm. be. This is who he will always be. So I'm bringing all this judgment into this one game. Uh-huh. When if we were able to just watch a singular game, uh-huh. then we would be able to appreciate the 15 boards and the 15 assists and the 6 points. Can't do that with Ben Simmons because people are, digging into their bag of what they know.
We cannot. All right, so what we know is that Bryce Harper will not be in the lineup for the Phillies again tonight because Bryce Harper's just been placed on the 10-day IL, and it's retroactive to yesterday.
Forearm contusion. I guess this all goes back to when he fell in the outfield, he said, on that wrist area.
Yeah.
And he hasn't looked right since. And this is probably a good thing. Because he wasn't helping the team at all. And it's only retro then because they played him. He mm-hmm. probably should have been on the IL probably a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't hurt. He wasn't healthy.
Let me give you a lingering thought about the Phillies, which I should have given it to you yesterday. This Spencer Howard.
Yeah.
Now, I watched the game. You watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it. Where after 30 pitches, my man dipped 3+ miles an hour on his fastball. And then afterwards, he says, well, I couldn't get my heart rate back after I ran down the line at first base.
What?
What are you doing in Lehigh Valley? What are you on, the cream donut program down there? Are you not working out? Are you not long tossing? What the hell's going on down there? This kid could be so weak.
Even if that's true, Mike, he's got to be savvy enough. Someone has to get in his ear, and he has to be savvy enough to not say it. Now, think, he's a high-touted prospect.
Yeah, but he seems like a baby.
Right. So let me get this straight. You've been covering first base since you were 8 years old? I'm saying, how long? I mean, since he was 10 years old? Who doesn't? You cover first base as a pitcher. That just happens.
That's a bad sign, man. You don't have enough stamina to keep your velocity up after 30 pitches? And you're gassed when you run down the line? What are you doing down there? Are you not... what is it? I know baseball players work out less than any other sport, but dude, Come on.
Imagine if Embiid goes to miss a foul shot and he didn't say, hey, I just missed it. You know, I got back on defense that time and I just couldn't get my heart rate. Like,
come on, dude. Yeah. Come on, let's get hardy. All right, let's go back to the phones. Al in Jeffersonville. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
What's up, Al?
83-year-old guy still playing senior softball. Montgomery County Senior Softball League.
How old are you? 83?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Look at you.
175 people in our league. Three divisions, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
God bless you, man. Wait, what's the age? What's the age group?
60 on up.
60 on up?
Yep.
Hey, are you playing with all those whippersnapper 60-year-olds?
No. Like I said, we have three divisions.
You're in the older division.
You have to guess which division I'm in.
You're in the bad division.
The
ugly division. So your age group like are a bunch of 80-year-olds playing softball?
Right.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah, it gets the heart pumping.
Well, we couldn't get the heart pumping after one pitch.
You getting down the line? Let me ask you, anybody get a double in that league?
If it gets to the outfield, it's an automatic hit.
Okay, all right, got you.
So, question for you.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm 83. You know, you watch the Phillies on TV. The opposing team comes up to bat.
Mm-hmm.
They have every statistic known to mankind.
Yeah.
It takes them three innings to tell you what position the other team, you know, the batter, what position does he play? How come they can't tell you the first inning?
I'm not really quite sure what you're saying here. They do introduce the lineups.
Right.
Yeah.
And they show that. But now when the batter comes up to bat,
uh-huh.
Inning 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
They give you his on-base percentage, blah, blah. But they don't tell you what position he's playing.
Yeah, the Chiron, the flash on the screen tells you his position. You're just missing it.
In the beginning of the broadcast.
You got to look real close. They'll have the position in small letters.
Only after the third or fourth inning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I can't tell you. Maybe Booney can answer that question. I really haven't paid attention to the graphic that it doesn't have the position.
My pet peeve.
We'll get on that. We'll get on that for you, Al.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Hey, you keep playing ball. Keep running.
We're waiting for
Stay
you.
Stay in shape.
We're waiting for you to come in.
I would love to come into that 83-year-old league. Smash some line drives. No. Hey, have fun, man. How about that? 83-year-old league.
What's the youngest age range you think you can be competitive with?
Oh, I was playing in baseball leagues as much as 5 years ago. You know, like
what was the age range?
It was an over 48.
Hmm. Nice.
But then I blew my back, so I have, that was the end. But I did get the itch briefly about a month ago. Because I was feeling okay, but yeah, I let the opportunity slide. Let's go to Rodriguez also, in Middletown.
With the lineup, I just saw the graphic, Booney sent it. It definitely has the positions.
Yeah, I thought it did. It's just smaller. Yeah, and just didn't notice it.
It's literally the same.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's the same font as the names.
Yeah.
So it's like McCutcheon in left field is the same size. Herrera center field is literally the same size.
Yeah, I didn't know what he was talking about. He threw me. He threw me for a loop there.
Me too. I didn't know exactly what he was getting at, but now I see it with my own eyes. Well, it's the same size font as the names, and it's there. Yeah, it's there.
Well, let me see Sports Philly last night. I happened to catch. What, they had the Smokers Lounge set last night? They changed it up a little bit?
Yeah, they had the guys hanging on the couches.
Yeah, so Bikram wasn't in there. They just had the three baseball guys doing it.
Yeah.
So Ricky Vitalico was the Hugh Hefner in the lounge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Ricky Vitalico.
And then Ruben was slacked over here. Yep. And Ben Davis was slacked over here.
Yeah.
Relax. I said, now, is that going to continue?
I think they're experimenting with some stuff. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked.
Ruben got a little too comfortable there. He's like slacked out.
Hey, man, he's longer game. And they're miserable to watch anymore. The Phillies are miserable to watch.
They really are. All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0975. There's one line that's open, so if you want to grab it, now's the time. Mike Missanelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time at 3:30 to get our Twitter poll. And we have Crystal's news coming our way. That's right. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Crystal Rich.
All right, Mike, over 600 votes on this. Ben Simmons is very polarizing even after 15 rebounds and 15 assist performance in the playoffs. Does his personality make you less likely to look past his flaws? 76% say no, it's just basketball, and 24% say yes, he's aloof.
That's like, a 24% not a small amount of people.
Yeah, it's like a quarter.
It's a high amount.
Almost a quarter.
I know this fan base, and I wiki, when you don't go out and reach out and want to touch them, they'll pick they'll pick apart some things.
Yeah, and
it's rough. You know, Ben Simmons is emotionless. He's not ever going to give you that emotion. Maybe 20 years down the line, whenever there's a documentary done, he'll give you a little emotion then. It's not coming before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, you're right. All right, well, we'll see where that poll goes throughout the course of the day. Right now, we're going to go around the world to find the most interesting and goofy and crazy or delightful stories. It's a little something we call Crystal's News. All right, Crystal, what do you got today?
All right, Mike, we're actually going to Ben Simmons' neck of the woods. A 111-year-old man shares his secret to longevity. Dexter Kruger is an Australia's oldest man and a retired cattle rancher. He credits eating chicken's brains for living a long life. He told the Australian Broadcast Group, quote, that chicken's brains, you know, they have a head and there's a little brain inside, and they're delicious little things. There's only one little bite. No word on how he cooks them. So, Mike, miss, depending on how it's cooked, would you take that one little bite of a chicken?
No, I'm out. But see, this is this is not a new thing to me. It's being raised by in an Italian oriented family where my grandparents are immigrants, and my grandfather would. He and his buddies would go to the slaughterhouse. There was a local slaughterhouse. They'd buy a cow's head for like 5 cents, and they would roast the head, and they would eat the brains of the out of the head.
Oh wow!
So
well,
that,
cow's head is much bigger. It's like that's like a whole plate.
It was
pool.
Like it was like fondue for these guys. The head was in the middle of the table, and the fellas would just get the fork.
So they would roast it?
Yeah, they'd roast the head and season it or whatever. And,
so when you take the brain out, does it get like a little gooey after
roasted? They would lope off the top. And it actually was the head was still there, and they would eat the brains out of the top of the head.
Yeah, listen, I'm out on cow's brain. I'm out there. Chicken brain, though, it sounds disgusting, but what are we talking about? Is it fried? It's only one bite.
It's probably fried.
I could tell.
I'd fry anything and make it, you know?
Listen, you're going to guarantee me 80 extra years off of one little bite of a fried brain?
Yeah, I just think that brain connects with that dude's DNA. I don't think that's a universal thing.
Yeah, anything uncooked can't do it. All right, next story.
We got some new music here.
I had to dig into some different music because the other music is gone. And no one told me.
The other music was purged.
Was Snoop.
Oh, no.
So I had to find the one where Jason used to do the Brokaw voice. I had to find that news to put in for Crystal's news.
All right.
Yeah.
Crystal, like you're all holistic.
Yeah,
don't dodge.
Yeah.
Would you eat the brains?
Well, I'm saying if it was fried, I might consider it. I'm not eating raw.
Oh, no, okay.
Nah. I'm not eating sauteed either.
I'm out on organs. I don't eat organs.
Just fried.
I'm sure it's delectable when you fry it.
One bite, 8 years?
It's probably good, but I can't eat organs.
Listen, I can throw some good seasoning on that. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. An anonymous woman uses Reddit's relationship advice forum to seek help after she found out her husband was spying on her with a hidden camera. The husband believed his wife was cheating on him. She was not. The camera was disguised to look like, a smoke detector. The husband did confront his wife about cheating, and she put his fears to rest. So she thought, still unsure if he could believe her, he put the camera in the bathroom just above the toilet. She asked him about the weird location of the, quote, smoke detector, and her husband brushed it off like it was normal. Uh-huh. She eventually found out it was a camera after touching it and said she's disgusted and sickened. The husband said he knows it was wrong, but he just loves her and cares for her so much. And she was like, that's not love, and she's debating her next step. Mm. Could you stay with your significant other? They did that to you.
It's a very, but see, I got to know more about the story. What would make him think that unless he's a really painfully insecure, secure guy who would do something like that? In which case, that guy would be impossible to live with.
Right.
So There's a lot of insecure guys out there.
There are. I agree with Mike. If it's just insecure, fine. Has she done something else in the past?
Right. It could have been that. I need info. And now, if she did nothing, that guy is just painfully insecure, and that's not going to stop there.
And you know what else?
He did say he confronted her, and she put his fears to rest. She was not cheating.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if she was staying out late, coming home drunk, doesn't say all that.
I don't know. Is there a past cheating adventure in the...
Apparently not.
You know what else it could be, though? He might have just outkicked his coverage. See, some guys, you got to be careful what you wish for. If you're like a 4 guy, or a 5, and you get this 9-10 woman, sometimes you're so insecure that other people are worried about her, even though she's committed to you, that you talk yourself into stuff
that
because you outkicked your cover.
She's looking at 8s and 9s and 10s when you are.
She loves your 5 behind. Right. She loves you, fool.
But let's get back to the question. If everything, she did not cheat on you, or the person did not cheat on you, would you stay with them if they put a camera in your bathroom?
Nah.
No, you know, that guy, because that's only, I'm telling you, that's going to be, that's not going to just stop. He's going to be very jealous and insecure in the whole relationship, so that'd probably be nightmarish for her.
I would leave her immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one is for Tyrone and his thoughts on James Harden. Officials in Las Vegas are trying to come up with creative ways to administer COVID vaccine shots. They accomplished this by holding a pop-up vaccine clinic at a strip club. The pop-up was at Larry Fiddler's Hustle Club. One dancer waited in line patiently for a shot while wearing a French-made inspired lingerie costume and high heels. She did not have to worry about rolling up her sleeves as her arms were obviously already exposed. The chief nurse of Southern Nevada Health District said this is just another way to access our population and might attract some people who like the novelty of it. The clinic administered 100 shots that night before the club opened for business. And some people said they were hesitant about getting the shot, but liked the idea of getting it at a strip club.
You know what?
I think it's a brilliant idea.
I think it's a smart idea. One of the issues has been for people, some people that are reluctant, obviously, but there's some people who it's not convenient enough for them. So sometimes you got to have it at the place that you have it. That's why some places have it at grocery stores.
No question.
Certain guys are going to go.
Absolutely.
They're going to go.
The funny thing is they had dancers in the line with regular people, too.
I'll be honest with you.
You get your dancers protected, because they're going to be together. They can't social distance. Dancers can't social distance.
It may introduce the concept of the 5-hour vaccine shot, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Hey, honey, there's a line. They're out of line. I'll be there. I'll be up soon.
It's 100 people, and I'm 100 in line, honey. I don't know what's going on. And then you have to go inside and, do it by the song.
They ran out. They ran out of vaccine. I got to wait about an hour to get to retrieve some from the freezer.
Yeah, they
got to
drive it over. CDC people got on break. They're on break. I don't know where he's at. Oh, what'd you say? What'd you say, Diamond? Huh, Sunshine? Yeah, we're good. All right, honey. Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Yep, so chicken brains, a smoke detector, hidden camera, and COVID shots at a strip club.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's Crystal's news. Now, I can ask you guys, like I said, I'm anti-organ. I can't eat an organ. I can't eat a liver or a spleen or a gallbladder, whatever they eat, a heart. People eat hearts. Oh, could you eat an organ? Could I in the day?
Yeah.
Is it fried?
Really?
Yeah, I could. I've eaten chicken liver. Does that count?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've had that.
I don't understand.
I didn't love that. But I hated it, actually.
Do we really need to eat organs?
Well, it depends on if it's good for you.
Well, everything's good for you.
Not
you
everything.
You get something that's good for you.
Well.
Do you really need to eat a liver?
All right.
I mean,
need is relative.
Them.
It's relative, but well, if it's good for you.
That feels barbarian-ish that you need to eat organs.
Now, hold on. What's barbarian? What? Is it killing the animal? Once they're dead,
yeah,
whatever you eat is whatever you eat.
Right. Yeah. I don't necessarily like it, but I mean,
digging in the carcass and grab an organ and slap it on a plate. I don't think I need that.
That can't be my main source of protein. You can't like give me collard greens, corn, and liver. But some people do like it. Like,
yeah.
I don't. I never got it.
I have relatives who love the chicken livers.
Yeah, see, what if I'm
love them?
If I'm commissioner of the world, I rule that kind of stuff out.
But that seems...
I don't want people to be barbarians eating apple livers.
Now, what's more barbarian about eating the liver versus the breast? Like,
the breast is not an organ. It's just meat.
Right,
it's like you don't have to dig in and rip it, like detach something.
You have to detach it anyway to properly cook it. So you might as well not let it go to waste. You do. You have to take all that out before you cook it.
Why not?
So.
Let it go to waste.
When we were talking about the chicken brain, though, because it's so small... Like I wouldn't want to do it, but I would be open to it. Like cow brain out, anything that's a big animal out. If it's one bite, you fry it, season it the right way, I might cook.
I'm out.
They're not.
We process the organs. So like make it animal food. If you want to process.
Truth be told, I would eat the brains. If I ate chicken, I would eat the chicken brain. If it was good for me. I'd eat whatever. I'd eat lion.
Wait, the chicken enough isn't good for you? You need the brain to be, like, what?
What if it was delicious?
It's
going
to be good for you.
What if it really was delicious?
What if it has something that gives some amino acids or something in it? it depends what's in it, Mike. Like, I'm not just going
to... fatty acids.
Right, look at this. Look at this. Yeah.
What if it truly is a key to longevity, like your guy David in Australia
exactly.
said?
I want to live long.
Mentally, that would not work on you. You're eating some creature's brain?
No.
Because, but you know, like,
now, I am a pescatarian, so I am not responsible for the death of a lot of animals. But I'm not. But once the animal's dead anyway, like let's say Crystal wanted to eat chicken wings, let's say.
Yeah.
And you wanted to eat chicken thighs for some recipe that you were making.
Yeah.
And they said, Ty, while you're here, this brain is very good for you. Well, the chicken's already perished.
If you
if
you come up with a fancy name instead of saying brain, call it some like French brain in French. I think more people will be open to it.
Yeah, I don't even eat chicken. I don't eat chicken thighs either.
Well, that was some people cook with them.
I know
things.
People. Like,
I'm not big on the
Chinese
thighs
entrees. Yeah. All have chicken thighs on it, and they make it. Like, they fake it. Like,
that
it's not.
That was my favorite thing, the chicken thigh.
Yeah,
back when
chicken,
I
you find
chicken.
Bits of chicken thighs in Chinese food, rubbery.
I do. In the Chinese food, yes, but when I cook it, it's the best part.
Oh my gosh, my
chicken
mom.
Thighs the best part. In fact,
I can't.
It's better than the breast, better than the wing, better than the leg.
That's too rubbery.
My mom just texted me, and she, from the ages of 8 to 13, she used to live in London. She said, and they eat all the weird things sometimes over there, like the little, like, and the insects, some of them are like, delicacies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She texted me and said, I used to eat chicken brains when I was a little girl. I was told it would make me smart.
Well,
I need to ask her if it was like fried, how it was
look,
like prepared.
And look at her. She's had a successful life, Scott.
Because of all those amino acids.
Is that right? The amino acids did it.
And she looks good too. Mama Rich is down here.
Hey, listen. I'm not denying it. Maybe I can't, like, I'm not a scientist, a food scientist. I don't know what it's doing for a human being. I'm just saying, I could never see it. This is somebody's brain. I'm going to eat it.
Something's
brain. Well, you need the French name
something's
behind
something's
it.
Something's brain.
Oh, well, escargot is French name.
Brain.
I don't eat that either.
Not someone's brain.
Something's brain. It's some different. Animal's brain. It's an animal. It was walking around. It had life. It was pecking around. You're eating the brain? First of all, it didn't have any thoughts going through it anyway. You could dispose of it. Leave the chicken brain alone.
Chicken brain sounds disgusting, but chicken cerveau, which is how you say brain in French, that sounds kind of good. Yeah. Chicken cerveau.
Can you give me six of those?
No, man.
Thank you.
610-632-0975. I'm going to read this Phillies lineup. I got to be honest with you. This is a contender for the worst Phillies lineup I've ever seen. That's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. Mike Mussolini Show. One of the side topics we're talking about, undeserved love for lack of ability, which wasn't recognized by the fan base. That we're compiling this, like, because Mutombo rang the bell for game one. Pat Curtis is going to do it for game two. And they both got rousing ovations. Mutombo is probably at the top of my list for a guy who people here thought had a lot of ability and really didn't.
And that's where you came up with ping-pong paddle hands.
Exactly.
That was Mikey's
right,
original.
Right, because I was in love with the way that team played defense, and they blew the whole thing up when they got him. And you know, there's an argument, a great volume argument, whether they would have reached the same plateau without him or not. But that's not the point. They were a .500 team exactly. If you count the games in the play, exact regular season they played plus the playoffs, they came out at exactly .500. And people thought that he was Will Chamberlain here for a while.
Yes.
All right, so that started the list.
Mm-hmm.
So Boban's on the list.
For sure.
Then I went to Eagles. LeGarrette Blount, let me throw another Eagle your way. Gruger Hill.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Camu Gruger Hill. A lot of people. And the Eagles in a... their inability and lack of care at the linebacker position made him seem better because his replacements were worse. But that doesn't mean he was good.
Right. Now, let me give you two Sixers quickly that just popped into my head. Again, I have to go over this with a fine-tooth comb here. But two Sixers. We'll start with Rodney Carney.
Yes.
Could not play a lick.
Yes.
And then everybody thought, well, oh, man, little Rodney Carney. Look how athletic he is. He couldn't do a thing.
High socks.
Athleticism.
High socks and couldn't play at all. No. And everyone remembered him because Memphis was on TV a lot at the time. So everyone knew him. Everybody had made the tournament and they were good.
Yeah.
So everybody knew Rodney Carney and they swore he was, no, he's going to be able to help.
Yeah. And one more. Because this was like a meteor. This flash that came through. Corey Brewer.
Well,
had a run.
We had him on the show.
That was so
he became a fan favorite so quickly.
Yes.
But he couldn't shoot a lick.
No, he couldn't play.
Couldn't shoot a lick.
All right.
That's what held him back in his career. Because you see, like, that's what held him back in his career.
He was theatrical even on the court.
Yeah.
Like, the way he played, like, his defense. That's what people like in this city.
I guess.
No, but it's just game. Well, if we don't stop lying, we are all about personality.
This is the reference to this is, like, you're just now you're talking sports with your friend, and I remember that Corey Brewer. Yeah, man, he was good. Like that's the context I'm talking about,
right?
But, like they go, he was good, and they really weren't.
And almost all those guys, Eagles football's different. The non-football guys, it's almost always their personality.
Yeah.
And then we'll fake like, no, we just care about the game. No, we care. We want to be wined and dined. We want to be romance. That's what we do. We do. We want to be wined and dined.
Exactly.
And not pay the tab.
Yeah. Mark Jackson's coming our way at 4:00. Here's your Phillies lineup for tonight. I hope I can get this out. Bryce Harper's on a 10-day IL, so he's out of the line. Your leadoff hitter tonight is Odubel Herrera. Segura. Brad Miller, who, listen, I'm laughing only because, you might think he's Josh Hamilton now, back in the day. Like, he's in the three spot. Like, he's the best AD I can put in the three spot, right? Brad Miller. Hoskins, 4, Bohm, 5. Matt Joyce, right field, 6th. Andrew Knapp and Nick Maton. Now, how many teams is that lineup going to beat?
Well, the good thing, Mike, is you have Velasquez pitching.
I know they got Velasquez. They can't be. They're no way. They're an underdog tonight, right?
Yeah, they got to be huge.
And who's pitching tonight? Alcantara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I don't like the Phils tonight.
Looking at
the record.
It's, It's come down. No, went up. It's
minus 140.
Minus 138.
I actually might have to bet the Marlins. I hate to do it, but, come on. All right, let's go to Rodriguez in Middletown. Rodriguez, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rodriguez!
Amigo, Mike!
Oh, man, I can't tell Rodriguez!
Hace tiempo, Mike, I don't speak to you.
Yes, it has been a long time, brother.
It's been a little time, man, a little time.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know, Mike, Crystal was on for Natalie every now and then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we feel like we know her, Mike. You shouldn't go wrong with these girls, Mike. I don't know how you do it, Mike, but the show can't go wrong with these girls. They can't go wrong at all. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm still, Mutombo. You talked about Mutombo. It brought back some memories, man. Bad memories. Basically, bad memories. I remember during the playoffs, man, Shaq would ask him, challenge me, man. Why don't you challenge me? The guy was just weak.
Well, the irony of this is that they got him and they said, well, we need a guy that could deal with Shaq. How'd that work out? Did he deal with him?
I always wonder, what would a guy like Iverson do with a Shaq or somebody, a good big man?
My point about that year is they created a very unique way to play defense that made them win games, and that was with a fast center who could guard at the top. It disrupted teams at the time because not many fives could do that, and Larry Brown figured it out, and that's what made that team special. From that moment on, they were just a 500 team with Mutombo.
He
annoyed me. He just annoyed me.
Did the same thing to me. He just didn't work for me at all. I hate it when somebody does say, oh, Mutombo was this.
Couldn't catch the ball. They tried the low post entry pass all the time. He couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're right, Mike.
Yeah, but those days are over.
Okay, Michael.
Is that it? Is that it for you?
Estamos bien con Crystal. Estamos bien.
All right, Rodriguez. You got it, buddy. All right. Rodriguez in and out today. That's unusual.
Yeah, very strange, and he didn't say anything stupid.
No.
It's got to be a first.
Right.
Didn't hate on Wentz. Didn't try to talk about Ben Simmons trading somebody.
Yeah.
Do more of that, Rodriguez, and you'd be welcome anytime.
I'm glad you brought up Wentz, because in the 4 o'clock hour, we got to bring up something.
He's a violation or?
Not a violation. He is lovey-dovey in Indianapolis. Oh, it's all loves and giggles.
Well,
you didn't see this?
No, I didn't
see it. Oh, my God. The Indianapolis Colts fans, they just love him.
Well, is Howie Roseman there? Because that's who he had beef
was
with.
This is something that happened in Colts camp. They just love having him around. It's a big celebration. They had a little participatory thing. I can't believe you didn't see this.
Nah.
Like the new girlfriend. Oh, your ex didn't treat you right? Come on over, baby.
I'll give you a little hint. It was a knockout game. Carson Wentz versus Mo Alley Cox.
Oh.
The former college basketball player, now they're tight ends.
Yeah.
They were going head to head with the screaming teammates.
What?
Oh, yes.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
You know what?
He's embraced by his squad.
First round pick coming to Philly, folks. That's all I'm worried about. 1 year of getting the first round pick and then moving part ways forever.
Oh, my God. They were roaring in support. 4 o'clock hour. Mark Jackson's going to join us after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's the 4 o'clock hour. What is this this band, this power rock band? What is this?
It's a continent.
Oh, it's Europe. It's Europa. Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Europe blasting out the power rock anthem. All right, it's the 4 o'clock hours, the Mike Missanelli Show. And it is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. We're expecting to hear from Mark Jackson any minute. Until we do, let's get some phone calls in here and go with Zach. He's calling from Eastern College. Hello, Zach. Zach, you're on the air. All right, Zach is not paying attention. Chuck in North Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody
Chuck?
Doing today?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm putting in a ring system right this second, trying to figure it out. Well, I've got it figured out. I just got to get it up there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Guy Fieri, he's got a restaurant in Norfolk.
Oh, it does?
And, yeah, it's so overrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just,
sure,
I mean, I'm a big time cook, man. Matter of fact, the wife got me a smoker for Father's Day. I have not used my oven since Friday. I even smoked fettuccine Alfredo last night.
You are. Look at you. I don't have anything personal against Guy Fieri. He's made an impact, but like he's kind of a food fraud. He's not a culinary man.
No, Bobby Flay's my guy. I love Bobby Flay.
He's a culinary man, Bobby Flay.
I like Bobby Flay. I like him. I think Guy Fieri's just a face. I don't think he comes down to the Outer Banks all the time, and they make this big deal about it.
He's a famous guy, so, and he's got that look, so that's why they make a... Hey, listen, let me put you on hold here, Chuck, because...
All right, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're about to hear from Mark Jackson, who, of course, you see on NBC Sports Philadelphia with pregame and halftime and postgame analysis for your 76ers to lead the series 1-0, game 2 tomorrow night. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hey, Mark, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. All right, so game 1, when you saw it, what were your impressions of the way they played, especially after that long of a layoff?
They started the way I expected. They started rocky, out of rhythm, trying to figure the game speed out. But I thought it turned out a little better. Still scratching my head about some of them fouls Joel Embiid got, but as long as we got the W, that's all that counts.
All right. So yeah, the officials made it tough for the Sixers, but they managed to survive without him because Tobias with a major step up. Now, this is something we really hadn't seen before in the playoffs for him. He's a different player under Doc Rivers. What's different about him?
Just confidence. I believe playing under a coach he's familiar with, I really believe has made him feel more comfortable. He knows what to expect. He knows the system's like. And he knows he has a coach that he's played for previously. They gave him his best career ever when he's with the Clippers. And I think it just translated here to the Sixers. And I really believe he's just comfortable. But I really love the aggression he's been showing so far. He seemed determined. I think he's having a better season because of Doc Rivers. And I also believe, unfortunately, because of the snub, I believe that he's playing with a man on a mission. And that's all the motivation he needs to play like he did last game.
That's good enough. Good enough for all of us. This is a tough thing for me to ask you about these playoffs because we know the road should get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And let's face it, this team is not capable of beating the Sixers. I don't know if they beat them once, much less four times. And the second series kind of the same thing for me. So what are we looking at here with this this progress as this train moves up to get to the real big series, the Eastern Conference Final?
We're looking at a team that's on a mission, a team that has every piece they need to be successful. And I know a lot of people like to say, oh, the Nets. And look, the Nets are an imposing force they have because they have so many great offensive talents on one team. But I still go back to defense and chemistry can outweigh talent anytime. And I really believe the Sixers have enough talent with Joel Embiid and Tobias and a nucleus of supporting cast. I really believe that playing together the whole year is better than only playing together 8 games. And then if you go any further, if you dig a little deeper, yes, the Nets have played together 8 games the whole season, but how many games have they played together without minutes restrictions because somebody's come out from an injury? That number is 3. That number is 3 games that they've had the full go to play any minute they want without being worried about somebody just coming back. And you going into the playoffs with that, I think you run into a good team that has talent, has defense, has a team that's actually got a bunch of good players that play together, I think is going to hurt you.
Talking to Mark Jackson, he is the Sixers game day analyst on NBC Sports Philly. Mark, let's talk about 2-5. Number 2-5. Now, I've listened to you all year. And I've heard you say many times how he's got to be more offensive aggressively. So let's look at the numbers. He got 15 and 15, and you hear the people in the city. They look at the 6 points on the board and over 6 at the foul line, and it's like they're forecasting doom. I want to hear your analysis of that kind of a game and whether he's going to need to score more or leave it at that. If he gives you that, do the Sixers win against a really good team?
I believe 15 and 15 is great, but I also believe we need something better offensively, meaning we need at least 10 points. I believe against when teams, opponents get better, they're going to scheme. They're going to see, Ben Simmons only had 6 points. 0-for-6 in the foul line. Let's go hack a Ben. Oh, he has 6 points. So what does that mean in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go? He's not going to really want to be offensively aggressive. So let's make him score. Let's deny everybody else, and let's make him beat it. So with that being said, if I'm the opposing coach, that's how I'm playing against the 76ers. So with that being said, he needs to prepare for that, which means he has to get out of this offensive downfall. I would call it slump now, because that is going to come back, and that's going to be the game plans of most of the teams. I won't be surprised if Washington comes back next game tomorrow night and they literally deny everyone and say the only way you've beaten us is if Ben Simmons shoots the ball 25 times. And I really believe that's how teams are going to start preparing. Like, okay, Tobias had a good game. Joel was in foul trouble, still finished great. The shooters are going to shoot. They're going to be off and on. But one thing is consistent. Those are the consistent things. But Ben's willingness to be offensive aggressive is not consistent. And with that being said, let's make him beat us, because that's the enormity. That's what they don't like to do. He doesn't like to do. So if he don't like to do it, let's make him do it. That's going to be the game plan.
You weren't 100% satisfied with what you saw with the fat of him then?
I thought he played well, but I don't think he played great.
Okay. All right. Listen, your point is well taken, because Washington may try to do that too. In the next series, they may try to do it too. Neither team is probably going to beat the Sixers even doing that. But the big fear for me is the big series. And if they do that to them, where are the points going to come from?
The points got to come from the same nucleus. They got to come from Joel. They got to come from Tobias. And they got to come from Ben. But don't be surprised. I believe Seth Curry has had some very good offensive games throughout this playoff run. And I believe Shake Milton is going to have a few 20, 25-point games, because they're capable scorers. And when you third and fourth down on the depth chart for a team, and you're consistently given the opportunity to score, those are the players that normally show up when unexpected.
Mark, let's talk about the rotation now off the bench. We can count on the 8, and it looks like 2 spots. Maybe he stretches to 10 by the time they get to the finals. I don't know how you feel about that. What the number should be, but right now, is it almost like a tournament between a few guys for a couple of spots?
Listen, when we got George Hill, that's when I started scratching my head. Okay, who's the odd man out? Because we know we're going 8, we're going 9 for sure. But Doc likes to go 10 if they're playing well. So I'm like, okay, they're doing that. We know we got the 5. We know we got George Hill. We got Shake off the bench. And we got Dwight Howard. I believe those 8 are going to play. Now, who are the next 1 or 2?
Well, Thibault will be in there as part of the 8. So you would that's 9 you'd
want. Well, so who you take out? Who you take out? You said 8.
The 3 that I was counting were Thibault, Howard, and Hill. So
what about Shake? What about Shake?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm asking you. Shake is in. So that's 9. So that's your 9?
That's my 9. And I believe Furkan, and that's why, this is why I believe he has to go 10. Because Furkan's shooting ability to stretch the floor, even if you don't touch the ball, just him being a decoy, makes Doc Rivers play him. So because of his presence on the floor. So I believe that Doc's going to go 10 throughout this playoff series.
So Maxey has no chance to be that 10.
Listen, I believe Maxey should have been playing the whole year. I think every time he's getting an opportunity to produce, but I think him being so young, I believe that the coaching staff, I don't know this for sure, but I'm believing the coaching staff are more comfortable going with veterans in George Hill and Shake than giving Maxey an opportunity. They say, hey, we don't know if a young mistake is going to pop his head in a playoff in a crucial game.
Unless he goes, like, that's said he's going to give him more minutes here. So in these early series, he might earn more of his trust. We'll see what happens.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So last question for you has nothing to do with the Sixers. It has to do with you, because I remember last time we had you on, how you got to Temple was a circuitous route, because Chaney was recruiting Rashid, and he wouldn't recruit two guys at that position. And then you wound up at Temple later. I never knew whether you went head-to-head against Rashid in high school. Did you?
Every day, every game since we was 10 years old, we went head-to-head.
I know off the court, but like in a regular game, like you played for Roman, he mm-hmm. was at Gratz. Did you guys play each other?
Oh, see, now you mess with me because you must know the answer to this. Yes, we played them when they was number one in the country. USA Today did a story on them, said this is the first team in history that they're starting five game number one in the country and they're back up five game number two in the country. So, yes, they beat us. They beat us pretty bad. They beat us 60-29. FYI, I had 21 points and 15 rebounds.
There you go, Mark.
So you had your own. What did he do?
Oh, I don't know, but he ain't outdo me when it comes to numbers. He never outdid me. All my bluff. Google it.
I remember the thing I remember about your high school career, you guys beat DeMatha in a tournament, like a monster tournament, right? For the championship?
Yes.
Okay.
In Alhambra, one of the most famous tournaments in the world, is Alhambra Invitational Tournament in Alhambra, Maryland, in Cumberland, Maryland. We beat DeMatha at that time, I think they had 8 pros. Two future Olympians, we beat them. Yep.
Yeah, I do remember that. All right, listen, man, we'll look forward to more of your content. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, Mark Jackson, Comcast Business Hotline. So Gratz won.
Yeah.
But he held his own.
Yeah, you remember the numbers.
Well, that was a pretty good defense in Gratz play. I guess McKee had to be on that team then. I should have asked him whether McKee was on that team too. That was a spanking.
Yes.
He
scored 21 of the 29.
Yeah.
I mean, that's darn good.
No one else.
But yeah, she was a.
I can't believe they held him to 29, though, because Roma was a good team with him. Yeah, Roma beat the bad. They were really good.
But I remember because I was in middle school during that time. And Gratz then was like, you heard about it, and it was like, you forget about it. Particular club. Like, no public league team had been, like, before that for a while, right? Hadn't it been a long time since there had been a team on that
nationally
level?
Nationally ranked?
Yeah,
they were number one. Yeah, they were ranked one.
And then there hasn't been many since either, right, in the public league. It's been in the private,
Aaron had to be on it. But that was Rashid's senior year, so Aaron couldn't have been there.
He couldn't have been there.
Well, who else was on that team that made him so good?
I don't remember. I remember she getting all the headlines.
Oh, yeah. He was just over dominant. There had to be some other good players on that team.
Had to be. Somebody can help us out here.
Yeah, we need some.
Call us up here.
Basketball historians. To fill in the blanks.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. Help a brother out with some of his history, because not all of it's Googleable.
Yeah.
Some of that 90s stuff, and then back in high school, you need somebody to come and upload it, and it's like a team-by-team thing.
Yeah.
They don't just have a log that you can easily get all the time with the rosters.
You know, it's amazing. Mark Jackson, he's been through the basketball wars.
Mm-hmm.
He played the NBA. He played high-level college. He played in Europe. 21-15 in that game. Ingrained in his brain.
He made some money in the league. Exactly. Got multiple contracts and still remembers that.
That's good. Tommy in Tampa. Tommy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tommy.
Hey, I'm going to switch gears on you with lack of talent.
Go ahead. What do you got?
All right. We got, he was the 2009 Phillies top prospect, 2010 Major League Baseball top prospect. I know Ty's going to love this one. Dom Brown?
The category is that we liked them for undeserved reasons for ability. Well, we didn't. I don't think this fan base ever thought that Dom Brown, after that just that brief flurry, they're not, at this point, they're not saying, well, yeah, boy, he was really good when he really wasn't. That guy's not in the category we're trying to fit.
Okay, so he's more of the poster child for...
we're looking for guys that people thought were really good, but really weren't. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, Don Brown, he's in another category.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, he's a category of failed prospects.
Okay, so he's more of a bust.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool.
All right, buddy. All right, you got it. All right, let me throw an eagle at you. Actually, two. Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah, but lesser than
semi.
Some of the other guys.
Lesser.
But yeah, people thought he was good. Oh, yeah, he can really help him, and he never really.
And I'm
going to
give you a little obscure white flanker type of slot receiver.
Yeah.
Chad Hall.
I remember fans used to really like Chad Hall. Yes. And I always wondered. I mean, I have to be honest.
He was from Air Force.
Right. I always wondered if they were a little bit great on the curve. Because they
well,
felt
of course
like
they were great on the curve.
Yeah, half this stuff is grading on the curve.
Yeah, it's great on the curve. Q in Center City. What's up, Q?
Yo, Mike.
What's up?
This is the thing. That grad team, they was loaded.
Yeah.
Jamal Redmond. Lenard Stewart.
Oh, Lenard Stewart wound up going to Temple. Okay.
Aaron wasn't on that team. Terrell Stokes. Sean Smith. Reds. Brian Samuel. They had a loaded team.
Where did all those guys go to school? Do you remember?
Terrell went to Maryland. Jamal Redmond went to Coppin State. Lenard Stewart went to Temple.
Yeah.
Rondell Turner went to a JUCO, but he was a part of that class with Katino Mobley going to Rhode Island. Sean Smith with Versailles with Trick Lamont. Got into some stuff there. Yeah, that team.
All right, that's six deep or seven deep all went at the next level.
I'm missing, but that whole team was maybe D1 for the most part. If they didn't go D1, it was because of academics.
All right, so Aaron played with Rasheed when Rasheed was what? How old?
She was a freshman.
Okay.
Aaron was maybe a junior. They might have had 2 years together.
Really? Okay.
Right. That's the key thing about that team in that time with high school public league basketball. Grants were like Mark just said it. They ran through the whole public league, right? And they would come back in the public league championship and lose to FLC, who was also ranked nationally and had a great team also.
FLC had Weeks, right?
They had Tyrone Weeks.
Yeah,
Meatball, Fred Hand. They had...
I remember those days in the public league. Yeah, there were some wars back then with all some great players were produced by those the big schools.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And Mike, I got a player too. Mark Whitman for the Phillies. Nice to let that guy. Thought he was better than what he was.
Mark
he
who?
Home runs and 12 RBIs with St. Louis Cardinals. And when we got him, I loved his stroke. I thought he was a good player.
Who is it again? I missed it, Q. Who was it?
Mark Whitman.
Oh, hard-hit Mark Whitten.
Exactly.
Yeah, hard-hit Mark Whitten. I remember hard-hit Mark Whitten.
Right.
he started out the Cleveland Indians. Yeah, he could really rake, but you know, he missed the ball a lot, too.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man, that's good information, Q.
I got
it. Pub.
I got the 90 team.
Well, so was this? This is
this
Rats?
Was, yeah, so this was yeah. McKee, Harry Moore. Rasheed did start.
Uh-huh.
As
well, of
a
course,
freshman.
He had to start as a freshman.
As a freshman.
He was talked about when he was in fifth grade.
Yeah, LaVon Alston.
LaVon Alston.
Was on that squad.
Well, he went to Temple.
And Andre Griffin were the starters. And Toot, who ended up helping him down the road on both teams. No, there was a different Toot. Contrell Smith, Calvin Wingfield, and George Toot Wins was on the team where McKee and she played together at Gretz.
Right.
Booney found that, so thanks,
that's
Booney.
That's good stuff of Booney, because the coach was the great Bill Ellerby. Years and years and years. All right, the two lines are open, 610-632-0975. How you climb in. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time to update a Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons with Crystal Rich in today. Crystal, what do the numbers say?
All right, Mike, with just over 700 votes so far, Ben Simmons is a very polarizing player even after a 15-rebound, 15-assist playoff performance. Does his personality make you less likely to look past his flaws? 25% say yes, he's aloof, and the same 75% say no, because just a game.
Well, it went down two, didn't it, from last time? Within 27?
It's like 1%. Oh, okay. It was 24 to 25.
It was 24, right. Went up 1%.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It's still a quarter. We got to a quarter.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me at all, but believe me.
That was funny is, though, we first put it up, people were, what kind of question is this? A quarter of the fan base is outwardly saying, because yes. I don't like them, I'm not going to let them slide.
And also, that quarter is probably the loudest out of all the fans.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something about this fan base that this fan base, I think because we do suffer from sports insecurity, want our players to reach out and touch us. Like Harper made sure he did that and does it, right?
Right away.
Exactly.
From the first press conference.
Yeah. So, and so fans go, oh, this guy, he wants to include us in it. Embiid, same way. Embiid's all about inclusion with all that. And Ben is like, nah, man.
Yeah.
I live here. I like it. But guess what? I'm not going to reach out and touch you.
Right.
Yeah. He just does. It's his personality.
Signed his contract extension when people were sure he was going to be with the Lakers.
Huh?
He doesn't want to be here. Signed his extension early. He could have took it out. He didn't do that. He signed right away.
Yeah. He's not frowning like he's drinking bitter cough medicine when he's in Philly, but he's just not one of those guys who's going to invite you over to the house.
When he signed that extension, he wanted to be a Sixer for life, but he's not in the streets like Joel Embiid playing hoops at a park in South Philly.
Right.
He's not doing
that.
Tennis
when he used to get
blocking
little kid shots.
Yeah. He's been in the house a lot more since the baby came.
Of course, in the pandemic.
In fact, it was really cute. I think Arthur's at the zoo.
Oh.
What?
Baby Arthur, I think, is at the zoo today.
Right now?
I think she posted the picture. Yeah.
Oh, does Joelle have the pass?
I don't think Joelle is there.
Well, but, the wife have the pass?
I think she must.
The pass? You got to get that zoo pass, man.
Hey.
I got that zoo pass when my little girl.
Oh, wait.
Could go there all the time with that pass.
Look like he's taking after his pop.
Oh, really?
Big kid.
Oh, yeah, he's tall.
He's 8 months old. Looks like he's walking.
Does he look like a 4-year-old? Like tall?
Yeah, like look like he walk 8 months. Look like he's walking around.
Yeah,
it got sneakers on and stuff. Like, man,
let's go. The future.
Yeah, posted it. It's cute. She showed it from behind because they're private. But it was like, oh look, Arthur at the zoo.
My man's got
legs were hanging long.
I'm like, he's standing up. I'm like, what are you doing standing up at the zoo?
Those kind of high jeans don't exist in the Italian culture. So.
He passed that on. Yeah, that's all him. I'm like, oh, good. Mm-hmm. Arthur might have a
future. If he can, he got a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick update on chicken brains told you. My mom said, I asked her how they were cooked.
Uh-huh.
She said they were prepared in water, so just boiled.
I'm out.
But she did say that they use a tomato puree added to it, and that made it taste better.
That's different.
But like, I'm still out.
They're boiled and they're stewed in the tomato.
Yeah. I'm still out. If it's not fried and literally, that's many bites.
You got to get a little texture on that.
That's many bites. I'm out. I was sold on the one bite wonder.
Yeah, that's mushy, man.
Yeah.
I skeeved that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a skeeve.
She said it tastes good, so not my cup of tea.
By the way, a little later this hour, I love this about, see, golf, I don't think there's enough of this.
I agree.
I love it when guys hate each other, right? I love the competition. That's why I love the Ryder Cup so much. And, you know, our existence is better than your existence. We're going to kick your ass. Like, I like that dynamic. I don't want the friends thing on the tee. So if we're going to play this sound, hopefully you can get what it is. But it's sound of Brooks Koepka loathes Bryson DeChambeau. Now, he's got good reason to, because I think most golfers on the tour loathe that DeChambeau because he's, you know, for many reasons. But Koepka has visible hate for the dude.
Visible hate.
Yeah, yes. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to play you the video, but we'll... We'll play the audio of this little thing that happened at the PGA, I guess it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was after
our round.
It was something that should have been on the cutting room floor that leaked because they restarted and redid it. But right. Somehow this leaked out.
Yeah. The sport is so sterile. They don't know what they would have if they did this. Yeah, they pair them together. I would pair those two together every tournament that they have.
Problem is, you got to wait for my man's knee to heal in case there's a fight.
Well,
I don't want you to put a guy like throwing him to slaughter.
I don't need to fight.
They're going to fight.
Well, okay.
But he's got a hurt leg, so let him heal first.
That's a byproduct of it. I'm good. But I just wanted to go. I wanted to see if DeChambeau tries to smoke one, it's 400 yards and it goes way into the trees to the right. I want to see Kevin go. That's the kind of stuff I want.
I would enjoy that. It's a one-on-one. It's an individual sport, so beef is going to be natural.
Exactly. Anthony, Washington Township, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Mikey, man.
What's up, Ant?
Mikey, I've got a comment on a guy to add to your list that's probably going to make some people mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also got a comment real quick on the great K. Rich's news story about chicken brains.
Yes.
I would totally try them if they were fried or sauteed in garlic.
That's what I'm saying. But you gotta remember something.
I mean, Mikey, we eat scrapple and we eat hot dogs.
I eat hot dogs. I don't eat scrapple.
Okay, so you've eaten...
No, listen, Anthony, you sound like an Italian guy. If you're Anthony from Washington Township, you got 100%, like, you're Italian, right?
Yeah, so, my last name's Selena, so we'll...
Yeah, listen, I understand, because I grew up with the same kind of, like, peasant food, and they create stuff out of peasant food. Like, tripe is classic. I don't eat tripe. You probably eat tripe, right?
It's ox gut.
Yeah, I don't do it. I don't do any old school stuff.
If you ever ate a sausage or you ate a hot dog.
I know what a sausage is. It tastes good. It's ground up pork. It's mixed with spices. I'm not eating the lining of a cow stomach. I'm sorry. I'm not eating organs.
So if you were a hunter, you would skin the animal and cut off all the meat and throw away the organs, and that would make you feel better about it.
No, I would never skin an animal. But if somebody did it for me, of course. I go for the meat.
I got you, brother. All right. So let me get to my comment, and I'm going to shake some people up with this. Because the list that you guys have given so far is either half people that nobody knows, or you're talking about the Kembe and LeGarrette being the most big names. But I'm going to throw one at you that's not a player.
It's got to be a player.
Buddy Ryan.
Well, yeah, but that's not the same. Yeah,
no, it is.
I get it. He didn't have any ability as a head coach.
I mean, people in this town love Buddy Ryan. He's old school.
Yeah.
He was tough. He gave great sound bites. Never cared about the running game. Never cared about the passing game. And we had two Super Bowls in there.
Yeah, you're probably right. They actually. I don't know if they liked him because of his, they thought he had great ability, or whether they liked him because he was the uncle type of guy.
Well, anything from Marion Campbell would have been an improvement.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm saying, like, this is the category.
My buddy was the talk like he was a good coach when he was not a good coach.
He talked like he was a good coach.
And people believed it.
They did?
Yes.
After a while, didn't they go, now he can't coach as a head coach?
You did a show after Andy Reid was winning playoff games. And they said they liked Buddy more than Andy Reid.
All right, well, then he gets on the list.
Expanded
outside of players.
He's the number one of coach who couldn't really coach. I mean, God bless the dead. No, I'm just saying it. Couldn't really coach as a head coach, but got tons of credit.
Let me give
Cole Tight won a playoff game and Buddy didn't.
Yeah.
Cole Tight.
Let me give you one that maybe it's iffy. It's in dispute.
All right.
Reno Mahe.
Oh, boy. Reno, did people think Reno, didn't he help him a little bit on special teams?
Yeah, and when he played, I think people's remembrance of Reno Mahe is that he was a good player. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
right.
Probably you're
take
probably
me
right.
off.
No, I think you're probably right about Reno.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He didn't have, listen, all due respect, I know he's Vi Sagama's cousin.
Yeah.
So
Vi was a better player.
Vi was a better player. Yeah, I don't want to insult Reno, but I don't think he was a good player.
No, you're probably right.
All right, one Philly. Aaron Rowan.
Yes. The credit he gets. My dad and I, Can I say this? All right. We believe he could have stopped before he hit the wall, but he didn't think he was going to get hurt as bad as he did. So he didn't injure himself on purpose, but he was a little theatrical about it. And he got to the Victorino was a better player than him and helped them win the World Series. Yes.
Yeah, I think the perception was that Rowan was a better player than he actually was.
Yes. Victorino, for all his faults, was a better player than Rowan. That's why he replaced him. That's why they didn't pay him, because they knew they had a guy who was going to be better.
Yeah.
And I agree, but I still believe that he could have stopped on the wall. But he didn't know he was going to get as hurt. So he didn't get hurt on purpose. I think he was just being a bit theatrical.
I give him points for smashing into the wall to try to get a catch a ball. I have great respect for that. But I think people thought he wasn't that great of a player here. And I think people thought he was a good player.
Oh. Real fast from the broadcasting world.
Uh-huh.
So Wayne Gretzky steps down from the Oilers vice chairman.
Ooh.
But apparently, it's because TNT's getting ready to cut a check.
Ooh.
So they want to get the great one for their new hockey thing.
Their new analyst?
Uh-huh.
In the booth analyst?
I think he would be, they're looking for a broadcast role. I guess that would be studio.
Oh, it's a studio job.
I think it'd be the studio job.
Wow.
Because you got Barkley and Shaq, you get Wayne Gretzky to launch your thing. Like,
how much do you think they'll pay Gretzky for that role?
I bet you they're going to, enough for him to quit the Oilers job.
20 mil?
I don't think they can pay 20.
Double digit mil?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if hockey will yield that is my thing. But if you're trying to launch a new show and you want to have your hockey equivalent to Barkley and Shaq and Kenny.
These networks all of a sudden are putting a lot of money into hockey. I don't get it.
Well, because the numbers that they get with the streaming and stuff relative to alternatives is just better. It's still better to have live sports than anything else.
Congratulations to the great one.
Now, it's not signed, but it's like, why would you step down unless you knew you had another check coming? It looks like a big check coming.
You can't put another analyst with Gretzky, can you?
Yeah.
Once you get Gretzky in there.
You could do Gretzky, Keith Jones for the funny.
All right, I guess.
And then a guy. You could do that.
I'm saying like a lesser player. Gretzky says something, the lesser player's going to say, nah, man, I think it's this.
No, you always let the other guy talk first, and then you let Gretzky clean it up.
Yeah.
Like, you let the guy go. Then, what do you think, Wayne? Well, actually, because I'm the greatest. I think you're right about that part, but this part, see, when I was playing, because I was the great one.
Because I was the great one.
Like, I think that's how you have to play it.
All right.
I don't think Tyron would ever be humble if he was, like, a big-time pro athlete.
Oh, don't let me
there be. There would be no, humble wouldn't even be mentioned in his.
That's why I'm not successful. Because I wouldn't handle it. Well.
All right, let's take a break. It's a 3-minute break, so we'll be back. We have full board here, so we'll get through some calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.445, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Tomorrow, Sixers, back at it. What's the line on the game tomorrow? Got to be bigger, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Line yet?
I haven't seen a line.
All right, let me check out a line. I got to think it's got to be 8. At least. Maybe 9. It's 8. Yeah,
8.
There you go. Well.
I think it was 8 for game 1.
It's a rocking chair, Rod.
Game 2.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Todd, Center City. What's up, Todd?
Mike, how are you?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good, brother. And good to see Crystal and Ty. Mike, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go organs first, right?
Yeah.
None for me. I'm out.
Uh-huh.
Hanging upside down. Uncle Fester style, I'm out. Organs, I'm out. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't need the organ.
Yeah, me neither.
I'll eat the flesh.
Yeah.
I won't eat the organ.
There you go. I'm the same way, brother. Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. All right, now, I'm going baseball, Mike. I know I'm in the wrong season, but the Phillies aren't doing too good these days.
They're a very mediocre squad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now what concerns me is double A and big time triple A concerns me, Mike. They can barely feel the team.
I want you to think about this.
What's that?
They don't have one guy that they could bring up from their minors to help them. Not one guy.
Now, isn't that hard to believe?
It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you, they need someone to go down and get on the horn for double A and triple A and walk around in a three-piece suit and say, what do you have today? I'm writing stuff down. That's what the Phillies need. They do. And here's the thing. I love team speed. You know, I was a speedster myself when I was younger. I could fly. I mean, I could really move. But, you know, for number, I'm thinking one and two, they ought to bring up their two fastest guys. They're two. Out of double A and triple A, they're
what?
Two.
Why would you want that?
Because I like team speed.
Well, you got to get on base. You got to hit the baseball. Get on base. Use your speed. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
you're not ready for big leagues. Right, you can't hit big league pitching. What good is it?
Let's go triple A.
Huh?
Right? At least bring up one speedster and the one
Bro, if a speedster can't put his bat on the ball, what good is the speed? They got Roman Quinn. They've been trying 5 years to get this guy to hit the baseball, and he can't.
All right, well, listen to me, Mike.
Huh?
Somebody needs to get on the horn and go down there and chip away and say what's going on.
Well, that's why they hired Dave Dombrowski. I'd love to sit down and have a beer with him. Yeah, and he can explain to me how an entire system, the best they can do. This is the best. The kid's local, so. He's a journeyman, older AAA player, is putting their best numbers up at AAA. And they know they can't even bring him up because he's really not a major leaguer. That's what they got.
Well, you can't ask Dombrowski about that, though. He just got here 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I would like to hear his ex, like, what? How does that make him feel that their system is so bereft that they can't bring up a guy from their own AAA camp.
I would like to ask Klintak.
Well.
That's good. Because he can't give an answer. Klintak would have an answer. He'll tell you that it's all their analytics. I don't know what he would say. But I would like to hear. Dombrowski probably isn't allowed to say, well, this is a mess. These guys all stink because he needs them to develop.
Well, let me just give you an example. Like the Miami Marlins trot out that Adam Duvall, who has been around the big leagues a little bit. He's a veteran outfielder, and he played with the Braves last year, and somehow was expendable. I don't know how much Miami paid him. They couldn't have paid him much. They don't have any money. Can you look at this guy's numbers? Like, that would have been a depth outfielder. He hits right-handed. They don't have anybody who hits right-handed. Oh, that's on Dombrowski's watch. Dombrowski had a chance to sign a guy. Like,
what was his numbers before?
He's a home run hitter, but you know, he didn't hit for average. They didn't have any right-handed bats. Now, if you sign that guy, he becomes a starter for you. You're okay every now and then.
Yeah, but everybody misses a guy. This was bad before he got here.
This guy was within the division.
Well, everybody misses a guy.
Listen, man, all I know is that Miami signed him. And he's hitting home runs for him.
I can't hold him because he didn't sign one guy.
I can.
Everybody misses
he's got nobody
guy.
Else.
Everybody misses
you're
going to
show me you're going to hit from the right side off the bench, Dave. You got anybody? Well, we think Roman Quinn and come on. Let's go to Sam in South Jersey. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
Yes. Good afternoon, Michael.
What's going on, Sam?
Also, good afternoon, Tyrone and Crystal. Mike, I miss reading you in the Enquirer, and I love your show. Long time listener.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
The journalist in me wanted to return to a topic that you were speaking about earlier about eating the inside of pigs as well as chickens.
The brains.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the African American in me, I must point out that, number one, when Africans were brought here as captives, our freedom was taken away, our names, but also our diet. And what I mean by that is that during slavery time, we did not have options. It's a known fact, or at least a little known fact, that the captives, the slaves, ate the throwaways. That's why you have the skin, the crackling, the chitlins, the intestines, the neck, all of those things that we either ate or we did not eat at all. So it was sort of a cultural
creation. Yeah, no, I understand that. I grew up Italians the same way when they came over. The neck is edible part. Everything is an edible part. That's cheap. They were scraps from a butcher shop.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so once again, it's just the fact that we did not have options. Now, in terms of, by the way, and the same thing with the chicken and also, let's just say vegetables. We were left with the soup of the various vegetables, and that's why we got so strong, but that's another story. My sports story has to do with Ben Simmons. I'm going to take you back to the time that we had Julius Erving when he came on board, when we had George McGinnis. When we were playing the Portland Trail Blazers, took away our run and gun offense with Lloyd Free and the rest of them. Unfortunately, I think that as we go into the playoffs, they may take away our strength in terms of Embiid. They're going to force Ben Simmons to do what he has not been doing in practice. He should be shooting at least 100 free throws every day.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing it, Sam. 100 free throws a day. I don't think it's repetition that is throwing him off. I just think there's some guys get to a foul line and they their first thought is a negative thought. Bad foul shooters probably all have that in common. It's a negative thought. Like, it's unnatural to stand alone at the line. You don't feel, some guys don't feel natural about it.
Yeah. I wish we can listen. Ben Simmons is a flawed player. It is not because he doesn't work. Yes. I wish it was just as simple as, the only reason he's bad at this is because he doesn't practice, because that means in a month he could just fix everything.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons works on foul shots. He works on three pointers. He works on all kinds of jump shots. It's not, unfortunately, the simple thing of just practice. That would be our problem if we were missing shots. Yeah. His is not that simple. It just isn't. His work ethic is not the thing that should be questioned. He does work hard.
A little clarification here. Matt Joyce was signed for $1.5 million. Duval got $5 million from Miami.
A lot more money.
Yeah, 3.5 more. But, I don't know, Matt Joyce had 33 RBIs?
No. But he also had some constraints. He didn't have an open checkbook. Because they were paying Herrera $10 million for that spot, plus how much they're paying the left fielder and the right fielder. I bet you he had some constraints with what he can do with the bench.
I'm glad you got Dave's back.
That's all for one guy. I think that next year is how we judge him.
I'm just saying, I complained at the start of the season. I go, they got no right-handed hitting off the bench. Well, as it turns out, they need it. 5 o'clock hours ahead. On the other, we're going to play that DeChambeau Brooks Koepka thing. First of all, I hate both of them. But I, if you had any sense of humor at all, PGA Tour, you would Shooter McGavin, Adam Sandler it, and have those guys paired up. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, Michael Snelly Show. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door, you'll get the second one at 50% off plus interest free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDE. Check it out online at goguided.com. Start the 5 o'clock hour with a couple of social media tidbits here. I'm looking at Keith Pompey and Doc Rivers on the debate over Ben Simmons' performance in game one. His quote is, "If you guys don't know the treasure you have by now, shame on everyone."
Yep.
I think that's the
Doc said.
That's the right approach from the coach.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't want to discourage a guy who's that active in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a coach, he's pressing the right buttons there. I know in private they tell him what's what. So I like that publicly.
Yes. All right. I think Doc has a lot of tact because every mm-hmm. post or pregame when he's asked about Ben shooting, he's always like, "Oh, I don't need Ben to shoot. Do you see the offense he creates?" Yeah. All the stuff that he says.
Yeah.
But I know in private, he's telling him how to improve his offensive mm-hmm. game scoring wise.
All right. I'm good with that. I don't know if I would have gone treasure. I may have gone bounty. it's not treasure. You know, you got to shoot a jump shot to get to the treasure part.
I think he's loving on him.
I know he's loving on him. He could have gone bounty rather than treasure.
Bounty doesn't sound right.
I don't know if black people say bounty.
Yeah, I don't think.
But that's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I don't think a black person would say bounty.
I'm trying to go
naturally
a
like
notch
that.
Less than treasure. What would that be? Give me a word.
I guess he's a gift.
Gift.
Is gift too much?
Gift would be
gift better. Is less than treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, gift war.
I think
work.
Both are. They're
treasure is like you pop open the chest and you know.
Now, Crystal's in here.
What?
Just studying a lot. Now, Christmas time comes. Your husband died. Uh-huh. If he buys you a gift, you're happy. If he somehow gave you a treasure, you turn it up way more.
A treasure is more than gift. It's very rare, but I feel like you stumble upon the treasure yourself. No one's giving you a treasure. You got to find X marks the spot.
You're right, Tyra, because treasure would be what Ginger got.
But when you start saying
from Ace and Casino, that would be treasure.
But when you start saying Janet a gift, just, my mind goes to people thinking like, "Oh, I'm God's gift." Like, no, sit down, relax. All right.
Maybe another word than gift. I'm just saying treasure is very lofty, and you got to be able to shoot it a little bit to get treasure status. All right. Now the other thing is, I told you about this Carson Wentz thing. I mean, if you seen the video yet? You gotta check the video. It's like after practice, and the whole team is crowded around this basket that's been set up. And it's knockout between Carson Wentz and Ali Mo Cox, and they're going at it. Carson going to shot.
Carson can look like he can hoop a little bit.
Yeah, he's making shots, and at the end, he loses. Ali Cox makes the shot, and before Carson can make the lead, whatever it was. He gets knocked out in the end. But the teammates are just roaring. And now I see another Michael Pittman Jr. on Carson Wentz's leadership. Quote, "I have no idea what everyone else is talking about." Meaning my man is firmly in there.
You know what it is? I'm looking at this video, right? They're turning out. They love Carson.
They're so crazy over it.
They love Carson. But you know what I think it is?
I don't hate his jumper either.
I don't know. That jumper looked like
it. Yeah, I don't hate it.
He looked like
he's played a little. He's played a little North Dakota ball.
Yeah, he played a little hoops. Right. Right. That's not the first time.
Against some redhead dudes.
Yeah, he's playing against on that thing.
And he's playing against a guy that played basketball at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was going against some. He's playing against some real hooper.
I'm sure they're making foul shots. I'm sure Carson could make that kind of shot in his day.
But you know what that is? It shows you, though, the issue with the Hurts pick, though, wasn't it was the fracturing of the locker room where people chose sides.
Uh-huh.
There's no choosing sides, so he's able to feel comfortable in his own skin. Here, the bottom line, Hurts has more swag. Now, we'll find out if Hurts is a better quarterback, but mm-hmm. he had more swag, and the teammates went, always go towards the more swagful guy.
No, you're right, but see, you know, it's like Carson's got that. This situation is so in his rearview mirror. He's out there. He's yucking it up with the knockout games.
He learned lessons, too.
Yeah, plus the Eagles never never allowed him to truly be the leader. They gave it to him for a second, took it right under his
feet. Took it right back.
And then now he's at a team that it looks like they're enjoying it. And someone that we both know who will remain nameless said his J is looking better than 2-5.
Yeah.
You know who said it.
All right, so let's quickly, before we get to the phones, back to the phones, I got to play you this because I love this now that, you know, I don't really like any of these golfers, and I love the competition part of it. So if one golfer hates another, I like it. I love it when I see it expressed. Now, there is no love lost that Koepka can't stand Bryson DeChambeau. And there's a lot of reasons. Because Bryson DeChambeau comes up and he's got this new science and he's always talking about how he's ahead of the game and this and that. And he's obnoxious about it, right? And Koepka gets short shrift on it because everybody's talking about Bryson DeChambeau. Koepka already thinks he doesn't get enough respect. He's always a little B about that too. So it's a natural dynamic of hate. So after one of the rounds, the guy interviewing him is a guy that he should change his name from his name's Todd Lewis. He should change it from Todd Lewis to Mr. Golf Reporter. He's like this fresh, scrub Caucasian golf dude where, you know, probably he's got a nice daytime cologne on the whole bit, right? So they're waiting to go on. Do you see the video? Koepka's looking at the side of his eye because the Shamo must be lurking. He must be in there, and he's looking, and he's already disappointed to start the interview. He's already He's already got a frown on, like, you know, this guy's in my space. So they start the interview, and here's how it goes. If you can pick it up, we'll explain it later, but listen closely here.
Golf course was asking a lot from you today, Brooks. What were you able to do well and put up that nice number?
Just ball struck my way around this place. Didn't putt well, but I don't think many guys are going to putt well with this wind. It's very tough. I don't know what other guys have said. I just felt it difficult to read sometimes. Sometimes, that's why I lost my train of thought. Yeah.
All right, listen. Yeah, I'm starting over. We're going to enjoy that in the TV compound.
So here's what happened. He's in the middle of the interview. The clopping that you heard is the Shimo kind of walking behind him into space. He's wearing metal spikes. That guy was still going with the metal spikes. He clomped, clomp, clomp, clomped. And it just totally took Koepka out. Koepka wanted to turn around and slug him at that point. And he says, bleeping, whatever. You know, sorry to put up with that bleep.
But he also said you low, but you couldn't really hear it. DeChambeau says you just got to line it up straight.
Oh, so DeChambeau heard the question
interview.
And answer, and he was throwing in a snide to, well, yeah.
As he walks by as loud as possible.
Right, you can't putt with the wind, you line it up straight.
Wow.
Now, at that point, see, I don't care. If normal person.
What do you do?
I'm turning around and I'm going after that.
During the interview,
but he got a hurt leg.
I know he's got a hurt leg. That wouldn't deter me. Once and for all. Because, you know, the interview's not, it's going to have to redo it anyway. They wouldn't show it, probably. Right?
It wasn't supposed to. No, he said, that's why the guy said, then we have to redo it. And they did redo it. And he goes through again.
Yeah.
But
that would be the end for me.
No,
that guy's on my last nerve as it is, and he's got it, like, he already annoys me by hovering. He annoys me twice by clomp clomping with metal spikes, and then he throws a snide remark.
And truth be told, he lost the tournament, but he finished ahead of DeChambeau. So DeChambeau can't talk trash. Like, Phil wants to talk trash, fine. He finished second in the tournament. You finished behind me, I mean, talking trash.
This PGA is so, I go, you know how they did it in Happy Gilmore, where they realized they had gold. But they don't have a ratings problem. But, oh, my God, would I push that button? If I was the commissioner, I would line that up right away. I would have a record TV audience.
Yeah, you would. Listen, Mike, I would finish that. Like, he let that mess up his interview. I would finish that interview just like reporters do when they're out in the field. You hear all these fans in the background, and they still keep their focus. I would have kept my focus 100% even more and got a little bit louder, throwing some shade. That's what you do. That's how you deal with it. And then when the cameras are off, then you go deal with the problem.
At this point, the only thing that solves this is combat.
I would have instigated if I was doing the interview. Now you gonna let him talk to you like that? I know I wouldn't have that. What did he say about
Todd Lewis?
I mean, come on, you gonna put up with that? What would your frat buddies from Florida State say about that? I mean, I just heard about your reputation. It seemed like you're not really keeping it real if you let them talk to you like that.
That would be classic. Eric and Germantown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Eric?
Ty, enjoy you guys and Sixers outside. Ty, a former Pennsauken resident, former school board member.
There you go.
Two kids graduated from Pennsauken High School, one of the greatest diverse communities in South Jersey. But you guys got me. The whole public high school league, I mean, back in the day, oh, my God, Mike, that conversation sparked some great memories of, you know, the battles in the public league before Rashid got the draft. It was the Shorter brothers. I don't even remember.
Oh, I remember Brian. I remember Brian Shorter. I did a couple stories on Brian Shorter when he went to Pitt because I was covering colleges back then at the time. Brian Shorter was like Moses Malone at 6'6". Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, they were. I mean, the public league back then. I don't know what happened, but I mean, we had, you know, now before Rashid went to Rome, it was Dallas Comegys before. Back in the day, Dallas Comegys was playing, and Rico Washington at Franklin.
Let me tell you a story. I went out to Ogden, Utah, to do a story on Rico Washington because he went to Weber State. So I know what you're talking about. And Comegys wound up going to DePaul.
Dallas Comegys. Rico ate him alive at Franklin.
Rico ate everybody up. You know, I remember Rico ate up Billy Thompson.
Remember Billy Thompson?
There was a tournament at the Spectrum, and he kept taunting them. Billy Thompson was the number one recruit in America for Camden. Yep. And Rico was 6'4", and Billy Thompson was 6'10", and he destroyed him and was talking. I was sitting courtside. He's going, come on, Mr. All-American. Come on, Mr. All-American. I was taunting him the whole time. It was hysterical.
Yeah, those were the days of the public league was just in its glory.
Yeah.
And Mike, remember the newspaper that was just all sports and had all the high school box scores? What was that paper? It was the best. I forget the name of that newspaper. I don't know.
There was a newspaper called the Philadelphia Journal that popped up.
Yes.
It was a tabloid.
It had all.
They might have done that. Yeah.
All the high school box scores. Mm-hmm. I would get that paper, get on the subway, going to frame for high school. I mean the public league and the Catholic league back then. I mean, it was just crazy. It was so much.
You're absolutely right. And some of the players that were spawned from the public league, and a lot of them stayed local. Like I remember this dude who played. I guess he was Stevie Black go to Overbrook. Stevie Black went to LaSalle. I mean, this dude was like a tall 6'4 guard. I think he went to Overbrook. Just deadly sniper. Andrew Huntington Valley. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Andrew?
I got two Sixers points, one about Simmons and one about Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
First thing about Simmons, I mean, I've already come to the accepting part of him not being an aggressive scorer. That's fine. But at least make your free throws to get a triple-double. This guy should be a triple-double machine. 10-10-10 should not be too much to ask from that dude. And with Embiid, I don't know. NBC Sports were playing highlights of when he first came into the league. And I don't know if he gained weight or what, but he just seems a little bit less athletic, not as agile as, like, obviously when he first came up. And his defense, like, throughout the year, people would drive by, like, say, Seth Curry or Danny Green, and he'd meet them, like, right there at the rim, but he doesn't go up. He just goes straight up. Like, he doesn't seem to be challenging those easy layups that become points.
Seriously, at this point, you're going to give me Embiid hate? What Embiid doesn't do? First of all, like I get you. I know how spry he was when he came in, but he was like really young. You know, the natural body growth of a guy is still going. I mean, he was supposed to grow into that size.
Yeah, I just feel like the Sixers as a team, they give up too many offensive rebounds that lead to second chance points. And I've seen it all year long, and I saw it in that Washington.
You know that they were.
That's not true.
You do know they were second in the NBA defensively.
No, I understand that part, but...
Well, I don't think you really do if you're telling me it's one thing. They give up too many offensive rebounds. They give up offensive rebounds. Obviously, they're not scoring off of that because they're second in the league defensively. Come on, Andrew. Yeah, you're being a little too harsh here.
You're right, Mike. I am being harsh.
A little too harsh. I don't know. Where is this coming from, the harshness right now after a game one victory?
I guess it really is just nitpicking, just because
why are you nitpicking after a game one win?
I feel like they could have done a little bit stronger job.
They won the game. Who cares? And they'll throw like what?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
They won the game. They did what they needed to do to beat an inferior opponent, and they're going to do it the next 3 days, next 3 games.
Yeah.
All right, come on, Andrew.
Boone's right. Because Embiid was in foul trouble. So you know he has to go straight up. He can't really challenge because you're in foul trouble. You're trying to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
And then he bet the Sixers. 7.5, and they win by 7.
Listen, that's what he's
upset.
Embiid to be Spryer, too. But he's not going to be the lithe 19-year-old that he was when he, you know.
No, he came back in much better shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's at a natural weight now. His body grew into what that is.
Right. Like, Shaq was different in L.A. than he was in Orlando.
When Shaq first came up, he was like,
L.A. Shaq was a big, he grew into
a certain form.
Like, it is what it is. And it doesn't just happen with Big Men. We just notice it. Skinny Kobe, skinny Jordan. Versus later Jordan. Yeah. There was a skinny-ish LeBron. I mean, he was pretty big, but he got bigger when he was with Miami. Then he actually dropped back down in weight now.
Yeah, when he first came into the league, he was skinny.
That's what I'm saying.
Your body naturally
grows. Right. But he's in shape. That was the point. Last year, if you make that call, fine. This year, he's been in shape all year.
That's been one of the biggest storylines, him coming back in this whole season, not looking gassed.
Yeah.
Better shape.
All right, New York Post says it's official. That Gretzky is joining TNT as an analyst.
Yeah.
ESPN also makes it official. ESPN reports it.
Apparently, Barkley played a role. They're good friends.
Uh-huh.
And Barkley was pushing Wayne to take the job.
Charles,
so they asked Charles to do the stuff. You don't even have to watch the games. You got to watch the games.
He can go to sleep in the green room now all he wants.
So that means he'll have to fly in probably once or twice a week into Atlanta, the studios. And then the rest of the time, Wayne can golf, and he probably got paid. He's gonna get paid 4 or 5 times the money.
Yeah,
kind of. You fly in, do your studio, fly back.
Yeah, I guess it's less stressful, easier job for Wayne, and more money.
Yeah, 60 years old, so he could do this 10 years and be done at 70 and shut it down. Auto. I mean, not that he probably got a lot of money as it is, but
right.
And I think him and Janet are still together, right?
Yes.
See, so he's not paying alimony. He's doing all right.
Well, was he living in Edmonton?
I think he was. Not the whole time, because he was with Phoenix, remember? Before that.
Yeah.
But I think he was, because him and with the McDavid are tight.
His home base is L.A.?
I think that's where the home base was, yeah. But, I mean, how far is L.A. to Edmonton on a flight?
I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how long that. L.A. to Atlanta.
He was commuting, you think?
No, I think he was staying there.
Uh-huh.
But I think he was living in Edmonton.
Okay.
Because this year he had to live there because of COVID.
He might have been living in L.A. and spending 2 days a week in Edmonton.
Nah, you can't right now because COVID.
That's right, because the Canadian situation.
So at least recently he probably been there full time. He's sitting there all cold going, what? What you guys paying me to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
All right. Well, that's going to be interesting.
I will absolutely tune in to watch that in the beginning, and then I'll see if they can keep me.
Yeah.
They're covered.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tune in and see if they can keep me.
Do they know who the main guy will be?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's been dribs and drabs. The rumor has been they want to put Keith Jones in, but we don't know if that's true. That's just been a rumor.
Uh-huh.
And there was rumor that they wanted to get Ernie to do it, but I don't know. That was a rumor.
They put money and resources into their shows, too, so I'm assuming it will keep you. We'll see.
Ernie would be good.
Yeah, have Ernie do that.
All he does is
toss
it from the side.
He's a good traffic cop.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be a hockey guy.
Right, sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
So these are all rumors. I guess we'll find out. But we know Wayne's the first one that's confirmed with all the rumors.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to mention one thing about the Shaq Barkley dynamic that I forgot about. So, is Kenny Smith hurt?
Yeah, I think something's wrong with his knee.
Okay, so during the halftime thing, after they made fun of Barkley sleeping, Kenny gets up to go to his big board, and Shaq, who they turn into like a little race.
Oh, they race.
So Shaq gets up and runs, and Kenny goes, "Oh, come on, man, I can't run yet." And he kind of hobble. So they put the camera back on Shaq. He's got these big furry bear slippers on.
Oh.
Like these big furry things look like faux fur.
Oh, I saw that.
So the camera goes on, and Charles goes, "That's his real feet."
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Let's take a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Can I get an encore?
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory, where better gets made. Find one near you at PhillyPretzelFactory.com.
The Chunk and Cage Show.
It is the armistice of the Ben Simmons debate. I have never seen or heard a Philly sports radio debate more futile and aggravating. So, for today, done with it.
Anthony Gargano.
The Sixers win on Sunday. I expected, like, everybody being pumped up. Instead, I got the Ben Simmons grouse all day. It sapped the joy of the first game and the first win.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Ben gives himself a short line because he doesn't go out of his way to embrace the public. And that's fine, but I think in this town, you then become an easy target for them to turn on.
Listen all day, every day, to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's like an arm's length guy. All right, a lot of people are arm's length guys. I'm an arm's length guy. So let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. Crystal Rich in today with the Twitter poll numbers, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero tone, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. Crystal.
All right, Mike, just over 750 votes in this. Ben Simmons is very polarizing even after a 15 boards, 15 assists playoff game. Does his personality make you less likely to look past his flaws? 24.9% say yes, he's aloof, and 75.1% say no, it's just basketball. And I got very specific with the decimals because it went down 0.1%.
Yeah, interesting.
Very, very. People are stuck at thinking how they think.
Yes, they are.
A quarter of the population here who voted on this poll.
Yeah, and the story has not been written fully, and it will be. Now, what will the story be? The story could be that Ben Simmons just took over, did the offensive contributions that we all wanted him to do, made it easier for the Sixers to get to the NBA Finals. They win. Everybody's off him forever.
Yeah, that could be. He also could be the first guy in a long time to shut down Durant.
Yeah.
Or something. Yes. They go, wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. Durant. So while he didn't score 20, he got 15.
Uh-huh.
But Durant was averaging 35 coming into the series, and he averaged 18.7 against Ben.
Yeah.
So now that, with that, that's 17 points is how the Sixers were able to pull it off.
Yeah, that'll take
that,
it.
That could.
That'll take it to the next level. And then it's the NBA title.
Right, and now.
And there's another measuring part.
Now that one, I'm going to play it by ear.
Yeah.
Only because
you don't know any who the opponent
who the opponent's going to be on their road.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because tonight's going to be telling what happens with the Clippers game, what happens with the Lakers game. If the Lakers are out, all of a sudden it's wide open because the Lakers the boogeyman. Like the Clippers lost on purpose to avoid the Lakers in the first round.
Uh-huh.
Like so, that's the part where the West is just. We're not going to. It's as crazy as it's crazier than the East. We know three teams. It's like six teams in the West. that possibly could go.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say that I think it's very possible that the Clippers can lose tonight and be down two. And then if they happen to lose in this first round, they would have to finally admit that Doc Rivers was just a scapegoat. And I'm glad he was, because if he wasn't, we wouldn't have him.
Yeah.
Kawhi was 6 of 22 in that last game.
I think the Clippers win tonight, but I think the Suns win. I think it's the final hurrah here.
For LeBron.
Yep.
Can he even try to come back after? LeBron wouldn't get swept, though.
Well, AD stinking doesn't help him.
No, it doesn't.
AD stunk with him.
And the Lakers are getting, because the oddsmakers don't want to give up totally, so they make the Lakers a 2-point favorite tonight.
Yeah, well.
And I'm going...
Mike, a week ago, the Lakers were the favorite in the NBA to win the title.
Yeah.
Now the analytics put the Lakers' chances behind the Sixers' chances.
Yeah.
Very funny. Like, a week ago, they were the favorite. Now it's...
That two-point line is thin. Totally LeBron respect, though.
Yep. Otherwise, Phoenix
That's
favorite.
It. That's all it is.
That's all. You're absolutely right. A Phoenix could go up 2-0, and that changes the whole dynamic of the West.
I'm not ready to give the Suns the series just yet, but I believe it's very, very, very possible. I'm interested. There's so many factors with LeBron coming back from the injury, AD. I wish he would crash boards a little more, but he's just not that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite ready to give it to him, but knowing that they very well could just snatch it.
Yeah, that's by 15, by the way. Nick in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nick?
Afternoon, everybody. So I think you guys teed me up well, both with that poll and with that idiot call you had before the break. Those are the type of fans, unfortunately, inside of the fan base, but also if you go on social media, just all over NBA fans have this thing where they don't like Ben Simmons and they don't understand what he brings to the game. Now, like, nuanced criticism of him that you guys tend to bring when I listen in about, you know, he's to develop that mid-range shot, he needs to keep the defense honest, he needs to do better from the free throw line, all accurate. Oh, he needs to be more aggressive, too. I agree. But what he brings to the game with his athleticism, the rebounding, the playmaking, the court vision.
Listen,
it's ridiculous.
If you don't know what he brings to the game, you don't know the sport, and you're an idiot. Now, the other part of it is he doesn't reach out to you, so you're programmed to say, you know, I don't like the fact that you don't reach out to me. And I think that shapes a lot of their narrative.
Yeah, and I defend this fan base at every chance I get, but that is something that we have a problem with. Whatever you call it, that we're like anxious about it. We need like this constant coddling. And it's a little ridiculous. I mean, Ben Simmons, he's Gary Cooper. He's a strong, silent type. That's who he is. He's an old school guy.
And see, that's letting him off the hook a little bit. I'll keep him on the hook, but I don't understand the other part. Like, the other criticism is legit. It's not frivolous. Yeah. It's legit criticism. But you can't let that, like, overpower the fact that you don't see what else he does. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad he hasn't listened to the radio or anything too much. He's not really hearing a lot of this.
Yeah, he's aware. Like, you know. There's like a million people that floated it in. It's in the cloud. He looks up and sees it written in, like, sky smoke.
Yeah, I don't want it to ever affect, like, because a lot of the not shooting thing.
It should affect them. I want it to affect them. That's the point.
I don't
care about hurting his damn
here,
feelings. Though. Who cares about that part of it?
The NBA, the players run the league. He will walk for nothing.
Oh, stop. He's not going to walk. He's had the contract. Walk. What, are you going to be afraid of him?
Not right now.
I can't criticize Ben. I don't like the fact that he doesn't shoot, but I don't want to offend him. Come on.
No, but you just don't give unfair criticism.
It's not unfair. He doesn't shoot a basketball. Is that unfair criticism? Hell no. That's legit criticism. He's unwilling to shoot a basketball in the NBA. That's as legit as you can get. Criticize them. John in New Milford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, John?
Oh, I want to congratulate you and your team there. You're awesome. You got facts that even astound me at some time. I like to say, though, I have some FYI information for you.
Uh-oh, what do you got, John?
Last week I was scanning the TV, and I came across the game between the Braves and Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh had a half hour of what they didn't know what to do. And they put on this program that they went into the batting room where all the batters go in and practice. It was the most enlightening thing I've ever seen in my life. They had so much information. If you could ever get that film, you would.
Well, I find that interesting because apparently it doesn't work because the Pirates stink. So.
I know, but the thing is, they had the tools. The tools were there. Whether they used them or not is regardless. They have the tools. If you could get that film, you could look at it yourself and you could say to yourself, hey, this is something that the kids of Philadelphia need to see.
Okay, I'll look it up. They Major League Baseball players and teams make hitting a science. So, I can see that behind the scenes there would be some scientific approach to hitting. And the bottom line is it still comes down to whether you can actually hit when the pitcher has a live ball in his hand.
Yeah, that's the
key.
Yeah, even the steroid air, all that, you still had to be able to hit the ball.
Right. Now, the Pirates have won 18 games. They're dreck.
Right.
They're going to win 60 games this year, maybe.
Right. They're intentionally bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't. What are the Dodgers doing? The Padres doing?
Padres have won 30 games. Dodgers have won 29.
Yeah, I'd ask
And they're complaining that the Dodgers have lost too many games.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I would like to know what those teams are doing.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
Yeah.
Chuck, King of Prussia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Chuck?
Crystal, good to have you here. Congratulations. And I'm going to tell you something. You're attentive and you got a legitimate sports background. It's good to have you. Mike.
Yeah, you're listening to me in the background. You got to turn that radio off.
That's good, Mike. Mike, let me ask you something. I tuned in about an hour after you started. Did you guys talk about last night's game, Mike? I'm watching two hitters walk on nine pitches, and I'm watching the next two guys get up there with no concept of the strike zone. He should have walked four in a row. Did you, Mike?
That game wore me out. So I don't know what inning was it you were talking about.
First inning.
The first inning?
First inning. He walks two batters on nine pitches. You got Segura swinging at pitches out of the strike zone, and you got Hoskins, who would have walked on five pitches.
So he walked McCutchen and Herrera to start the game?
On nine pitches.
I'm not a guy who is going to agree with takes. You know, if you got two guys on and you got your three hitter coming up, if you're going to fight, the guy's desperate to throw a strike, that's sometimes the best pitch you get I'm not going to complain that they.
Well, I can tell you this, Mike, your three, four hitters, they're not up there to walk. I understand it. Well, you got a guy struggling. And those first eight.
But it's the first inning. I can see if the game's tied, it's late. I can see that. Not in the first. Then you get two guys on. Get aggressive.
Well, Mike, and the other thing, our manager, the guy's likable, he's got a good history, but I'm just wondering, Mike, he's letting a lot of people down, Mike, and I wonder if they're even talking about some things that...
They're not a good team, and that's more of an old-school look, because it's like the natural thought process. Well, the guy can't find a player, you keep taking pitches, not in the first inning. You take pitches in when you need a rally late in the game, Gene Segura's the three hitter. If the guy walked the first two, I'm going to get a cookie.
Yeah,
I'm going to get more aggressive. I'm going to drive into. I get a chance driving two runs here.
Yeah, I checked because I thought I was crazy. Segura went 2-for-5 with an RBI, and Hoskins went 2-for-5 with an RBI. Like, don't get me wrong. Those guys were up there to hit, and they got some hits. I don't think they're the complaint. Herrera's 0-for-4 in front of him.
Yeah, McCutchen got a four-pitch walk. Herrera walked, and Segura, let's see, his at-bat was... he took the first two pitches.
Yeah, and he didn't strike out either. He
took the first two pitches. And he took the first three pitches. What is this guy talking about? He took a strike. So he did exactly what the guy wanted him to do.
Yeah, I don't think he... I thought something was strange.
Yeah.
Segura was not... Listen, we don't love Segura on this show. He wasn't bad last night, and neither was Hoskins. The team was bad, and there was errors again and stuff, but at the plate, those guys weren't bad.
Yeah, when you make a criticism, you got to understand what... Herrera's the second hitter. He walked on five pitches. So he was 3-0. He didn't get the green light. He took a strike and then he walked. So now they got two guys on, and Segura took ball one, ball two, and took the third pitch, which was a called strike. At that point, all bets are off. Swing.
The approach wasn't the issue.
Yeah, I think that my man got confused.
Yeah.
All right. On the other side, we got sound off right after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faithing me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Oh, yes, I'm sound off. 610-771-9705. That's the number. Keep it handy. You got something to say? Hit us up. Leave a message. Leave brilliance. We only require brilliance on sound off. So this is our assembly today of brilliance.
Here's the deal with Ben Simmons. If you want him to shoot the basketball, you cannot give him any praise in any game that he doesn't shoot. Because if you do, he's going to say, oh, well, they love me even though I didn't shoot. So I guess that means I don't have to shoot it. Because all he cares about is praise and people loving him.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, you... Let's freeze out Ben so he'll get the message. Meanwhile, you're in the playoffs and you're going to lose games? Come on.
This Phillies team has me turning games off left and right. And it's not because of poor performance. It's because of the comatose nature of guys like Alec Boehm and Reese Hoskins and Aaron Nola and JT Realmuto. They are like the Mount Rushmore of lifeless athletes. I feel bad for Bryce Harper because the way he plays this game should inspire more from players like them.
Yeah, well, I will agree that this is a team that has no pop. And you asked me to define pop. I don't really know how to define it, but you just know it when you see it. You see a team with pop. This team, it doesn't have that. It's just a mediocre team.
But how does Harper get a pass with that? I know he's hurt right this minute. I'm saying he's supposed to help provide that pop.
He shouldn't get a pass for it. And, now he's back. All right, we know he's banged up. We get it. He comes off the 10-day. Let's go now.
Yeah, how are you going to win a championship with Ben Simmons? All you got to do at the end of the game is foul him. And if you don't want to participate, you touch the ball and get fouled, you're playing 5-on-4. How are you going to win 5-on-4? They can't win that way, Mike.
Possible that the 0-for-6 is just an aberration because he's had moments this year where he's made free throws. So maybe it's just a rough patch.
When you mentioned Ricky Pitalico was like Hugh Hefner, I lost it. I was thinking the same thing last night when I was watching the three guys sit there, and I'm like, they should be whipping out some beverages, maybe some hors d'oeuvres. It was like a nice little party room, and the Phillies ruined it.
Yeah, they were in the Playboy Lounge last night, I thought. The fellas slacking on the leather furniture.
It was a cool visual. The game did not live up to the cool visual. It did look like that was a nice, smooth, cigar-smoking vibe.
Take out a cigarette. Well, our first guest today is Playmate of the Year 2002.
The old clips of Johnny Carson smoking cigarettes are the best. Like, he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, bringing people out smoking the whole time.
That's what I thought about those guys, man. Ricky, smooth Ricky. The you have to part.
I'm trying to understand this Phillies organization.
You've been a terrible organization for much of the last, say, 7 to 10 years. And you have absolutely no talent in your farm system.
What are you talking about, man? It reactivated Roman Quinn for tonight. All right? That'd be a lesson to you. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
You got an LPD?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 545 to see if your sound off gets on.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned because Devon Givens is coming your way in the post right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. And then it's another Phillies game, Phils and Marlins, Phillies pregame show. And then your ball game, Vinny Velasquez trying to stop it tonight against Alcantara. And Alcantara's pitched well against the Phillies before, and it's a feeble lineup. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight. But everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.